following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
What's poppin'? The Deals in the D.com studios bring you another Drew and Mike show for Thursday. Yeah, that's it. I'm Drew. Mike is no longer with us, but we're still the Drew and Mike show. Trudy Mark, Zoov's Brandon in the house, and much to get into today. We, you know, we have avoided... Brandon, are there no new Cameo people worth talking about? Is that the problem with Cameo right now?
I might have to just go and collect some, but the majority of them every day, you just never heard of them. Instagram stars, anybody who's over 100,000, they allow those people. So there's a lot of influencers on there now.
Okay, we haven't checked Cameo and so on. But Andy Dick had a great post the other day, and I thought, well, it's about time we called Andy anyway. So I hope we can make space for Andy Dick on today's show.
We have to ask him about Ethan Hawke, too.
Oh, yeah, and his 27 rehabs. And there's so many. And knowing Andy, he would tell us, like, his shortest stay.
Yeah.
The worst patient in rehab he's ever seen. Best buddy made it. I mean, there's so many things you could ask him after 27 rehabs.
Wow.
He seems like he's doing well.
Yeah.
Which one worked, I wonder?
Well, I think a few of them worked, but they just didn't keep working.
Well, yeah. Now he's good, so whatever the last one.
Seems okay.
Yeah.
The Dr. Drew rehab. Did you watch Celebrity Rehab?
Yes. Why isn't that show on anymore?
I don't know.
That's a great.
That's a great question. Great. Why did that go off?
I think Dr. Drew had to move on to loftier things.
Possibly. Although that was a big show.
You're going into a rehab.
It seemed like the show did fairly well.
Bob Forrest is still out there helping people.
Is he ever?
Yeah.
From Thelonious Monster?
Yeah.
Great band. And Andy was one of, I thought, probably my favorite patients on the actual show.
Most entertaining by far.
He was. And he when he was on his apology tour, he was crying so hard, so many times. And he remembered so little of what he was apologizing for. And people were unfortunately adding to his apology, like, well, you probably ought to apologize for this, this, this. And then he would get upset again. And then,
oh, no, I messed up. Fuck.
Then it got around to the kids. And, oh, boy. So, anyway, by the way, is Andy, you know, he's talking about this movie, which, of course, I'm going to be in.
Oh, yeah.
Doing play by play.
Film your part yet?
I'm quite excited. No, I haven't done my part yet.
There's another thing to ask him about.
Is Andy's... Can he make a movie? Can he get a part now? Or is he just too Me Too'd?
Oh, he should be able to get one.
I kind of thought so,
if
but
they're
I wasn't
making
sure.
The kind of movies that would put Andy Dick in them, I mean, is he going to be in an Avengers, a superhero movie?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, those are pretty much the only thing that's made anymore. I'm surprised he doesn't do voiceovers for cartoons.
Yeah, that's true. He should.
You know, like Toy Story came out. Why isn't he in Toy Story?
I don't know. Are too many people just mad at him?
He hasn't done film in 3 years, TV in two.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in a rough spot. I don't know when this backs off, or if it does. And interesting, I didn't intend to start with this today, but we talked a little bit about the Trump story with his accuser, and it got me thinking last night because I was involved in a Facebook conversation. I was thinking about, well, a couple things that really aren't being talked about. One, you know, this woman comes out on the cover of New York Magazine, E. Jean Carroll, and has, well, by the way, have we heard much about Les Moonves and what happened with her and Les Moonves? Because that certainly is interesting.
He's small potatoes compared to the president.
Well, not compared to Trump, but not entirely. I mean, I would expect her to tell us what happened.
I know, but what has the news been? What's the big headline stories every single night? It's Trump, 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 so.
Yeah, I just wondered if there's anything on it at all, except he denied it.
To that point, it's gotten, like, said, like you predicted, very little coverage.
She wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't his type.
Yeah. I know. His type to rape, his type to... I know what he meant.
I know what he meant, too.
But it sounds awful, and he shouldn't have said it.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
And he did... They did come out and say, he said this before, talking about the lady in the airplane.
Oh,
and they played the clip that we play so often on the show, which is... I don't know why, I hate to say it, but I
believe
laugh.
Me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
I mean, he just blasts that out there, too.
So do you want to know what she alleged that Les Moonves did to her? Because it's in the book.
Yeah, I was interested, and his response was just no, but I don't know if there was anything further than that. But what does she say
had an
he did?
She had an interview with him. He followed her into an elevator. He steps into the elevator behind me, she writes, and his pants bursting with demands.
Bursting with demands.
What a great line, though, his pants bursting with demands.
I think that's one of the weird things about her accusations is that it seems that she's really trying to make prose out of it. And it is.
Very literary.
Anyway, but go on.
Smutty.
So his pants are bursting with demands. Goes at me like an octopus. I don't know how many apertures and openings you possess, reader, but Moonves, with his arms squirming and poking and goosing and scooping and pricking and prodding and jabbing, is looking for fissures I didn't even know I own. And by God, I'm not even certain that even if I pulled one of his arms, it wouldn't crawl after me and attack me in my hotel bed.
Wow.
Hell, I am thrilled I escape before he expels his ink.
I think I'm going to need to change my pants.
She's not a very good writer. Isn't she a writer?
She's a picturesque writer.
I mean, she had me with pants bursting with demands and then lost me with all the other ones.
I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Her exchange with Lawrence O'Donnell was strange, starting with him saying, how beautifully written it was. I thought, do you really want to talk about ways someone writes about a rape? I mean,
they're friends, too.
Although
Don't go on.
It was her book. Anyway, so yesterday, after she was on Anderson Cooper, and Anderson Cooper was clearly wigged out by her. I mean, completely. He went to commercial because she said that rape is sexy. And we played it on the show yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a really odd exchange. You can tell he's so bummed out. He just goes to commercial. And then when he goes to commercial because she freaked him out, she says, you're a wonderful interviewer.
You're fascinating to talk to.
It was just so weird.
She's a little goofy.
Sexual connotation. This was not sexual. It just hurt.
Well, I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy. Mm.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies. Mm.
We're just going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
Oh,
you're
boy.
Fascinating to talk to.
Sorry,
I mean, isn't she
stepped on her line, but yeah, weird.
Jovial talking about a rape, and the previous conversation, she kept plugging Bergdorf's and Donna Karan, okay, which it just, I mean, I think it jumped out to everybody listening that she really needed to be plugging this. It was, and I don't think it was a plug, it was just odd.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I'm going through Twitter, and somebody says, I think she stole this story from a Law and Order episode. So I watched the clip, and it's but you haven't heard the original clip, Trudy, so this won't make any sense to you, but...
No, I heard it before the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was...
Well, do you want to hear the original first, or you want to hear the...
Yeah, play the original first. Why not?
So he goes like this towards the dressing room, and the odd thing is the dressing room door was open.
Mm-hmm.
In Bergdorf's, as you know, and on the counter were these fancy lingerie boxes that they used to have back in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I walked in right in front of it, and he shut the door and banged right against the wall.
So immediately upon walking into that dressing
right
room, he attacked you?
Against the wall.
Yeah.
All right. And then this was from Law and Order.
Role play took place in the dressing room of Bergdorf's. While she was trying on lingerie, I would burst in.
Hold on. May I?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far this goes.
When did you and she have your date? 6 weeks ago, maybe. She wrote back, wanted to get together.
2 weeks later, you and Megan started emailing.
Yes, the day that she posted her profile, I wrote. I was intrigued.
Okay.
So I don't know. Is that all it is? Is just the part that he just mentions Bergdorf's?
Well, the part I saw yesterday was a little bit longer, but it was not.
Are you saying Kevin Pollak raped her?
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything. And the responses were.
So it's because of rape at Bergdorf.
In the dressing room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he got the idea from that, from Law and Order.
Maybe she wrote that episode. She's a writer.
Oh, that could be too.
She's definitely a very strange victim.
She's not helping. If this happened, she's not helping her case.
Not at all. So it got me to wondering about the whole business of vetting people before you just throw them into interviews on television and just how different that is. Because the only thing I could compare it to was Juanita Broderick, Monica Lewinsky, and I think Clinton was better at being friends with the people he had sex with, so they didn't want to hurt him for whatever reason. Although Juanita Broderick was certainly not a friend. But how long did it take to get Juanita Broderick on TV? I mean, it seems like it was years.
You know, it's interesting, though, is vetting if Florence O'Donnell's the first one. Although New York Magazine published it. I don't know if anybody there knows her.
And she's on the
Florence
cover.
O'Donnell's vetting is that he's friends with her.
She has a book to plug. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
She's never saying until she has a book out. And I'm not saying you can't write a book. It's sort of like the lady that sold her story to the Globe who saw O.J. after he killed Ron and Nicole. It doesn't mean that these aren't mutually exclusive things, but it just seems, I don't know, I thought it was, awkward, unseemly is a better word, to be plugging your book and this rape simultaneously. I just thought it didn't feel right. However, it seems that no one has any problem having her on to talk about it, it's just very different. I'm trying to think of other things I can compare it to besides Monica Lewinsky, and I can't think of many.
Although it's not getting as much coverage as you think it would. And the other interesting aspect of that is, how many Democrats have you heard mention it or talk about it or comment on it?
Well,
they don't even want to touch it.
Well, she's really screwed it up.
Yeah, I mean, I know. But that's saying something that they don't even want to touch it.
Well, yeah. And also, the other one is, if you go back to Kavanaugh, the woman who claims that they had gangbangs at the parties and she was gangbanged by Kavanaugh. That story was absolute insanity. And it was determined that she was crazy. But that story was printed. It was put out. And this woman says, pfft. So, I mean, this is just, to me anyway, and I don't know if you still feel the same way. It's not that it surprises me when it's out. It's just that when I think back 20, 30 years, I go, wow, has it changed? I mean, it doesn't matter. There is no vetting. It's just you say it, it's out there.
Right. Well, with the internet, there's no gatekeeper. So
no, there isn't.
The gatekeeper is knocked down, trampled. So.
Except that these are publications. These are publications we have been led to trust or believe are somewhat objective. That are putting people out there. CNN, I mean, they have a reputation. And she was on Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC?
Yeah.
Okay. Anderson Cooper on CNN. Mm-hmm. And they got crap when, interesting, they got crap when they put on our friend from the Chris, those highlights, though. What's his name?
Oh, right.
Trent Bolte.
Yeah, Trent Bolte. They got a little shit for that, and which was strange because who cares about, you know?
Yeah.
The guy killed his wife and two kids, Chris Watt. I don't think anybody gives a shit about Chris Watt. But there were journalist types who were saying, that's irresponsible. But I really haven't heard anyone say that it's irresponsible to put this woman on. And so I'm throwing it out there. I'm not saying it's irresponsible. I'm just saying it feels weird. It still feels weird to me when somebody just, you know, this man raped me. And bam, interview here, interview there. This publication, that publication. And I wonder if they spent any time whatsoever to try and figure out if this could have happened or interview her in advance or because there's no police record of it.
No, but remember, I think originally said, and I don't know who this person is, but they said she told a friend the day after, but I haven't seen the friend anywhere. And maybe the friend doesn't want to get involved. Maybe there isn't a friend.
But the Kavanaugh girl, she didn't. Her friend said she had no recollection of it whatsoever.
Oh, I'm talking about this one, though.
Well, I'm not trying to be completely focused on this one, but I mean, just in general, it seems that you can just say something and the media will just it just will go out there, and there's, it used to be, you know, you needed two sources, it had to be verified, you didn't always have to give them up, but it just seems that all of it is just, it's just like, just throw it out there.
Well, nobody gets any sort of clicks by taking the moral high ground, so.
I know. And I don't want to say I'm surprised. Like, I can't believe this happened. Of course I believe it happened. And I believe if someone else says it tomorrow, if Avenatti comes up with some woman who says that Trump and his friends gangbanged her, I'm sure it'll be in some paper somewhere. And then other people say, has reported in the...
Right.
You know, it's a real... It's insidious.
Nobody has time for the moral high ground, Drew.
I know. Yeah. And I'm not really trying to take it.
Right.
It's not a real high ground.
No, I don't got time for that.
That someone saying that the president raped them should be vetted. I mean, that's not a... Is that really a moral high ground?
No, but...
I mean, let's leave
it's
this...
It's astonishing that how many times we've heard that, too. How many times have you heard that with other presidents?
Bill Clinton.
Like Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
But
and there Abe was, Lincoln with that gay guy.
That's true.
Did he Me Too
Oh, I guess it
Abe,
wasn't
though?
Rape.
There was restraint.
It was a consensual. Homosexual relationship.
with
no,
Bill Clinton.
Both had a bad there.
With Bill Clinton, there was a lot of restraint. I mean, there's a lot of time that went by before a lot of things were reported. A lot of time.
Right, well, he broke the mold.
In this, time, it wouldn't be like that.
I don't think
all
so.
All stops would be off.
Anybody vet exactly. Larry Sinclair?
No. By the way, Larry Sinclair, he got no traction. Mm-hmm. Nobody reported Larry Sinclair. I mean, that's one of the things, like, why wasn't that just... I mean, we had him on.
He wrote a book.
And I want everyone to know that we vetted him thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. We watched that one video.
Well, I really considered Larry Sinclair a joke. But, I don't know, it seems kind of... I don't know, Larry Sinclair is such a bad example.
I mean, what would be wrong, though, with having this person on only to sort of, if her story comes
challenge
up
it?
Sketchy, to challenge it, to disqualify
it? Well, that's the problem with Lawrence O'Donnell. He was never going to challenge
it. No, he wasn't. Yeah, and Anderson Cooper, I don't know if you saw the larger interview, he did not challenge it at all.
The only way he challenged it was to be uncomfortable.
I got to tell you, I thought Anderson Cooper went to commercial because I thought he felt that she was fucking it up.
How does she even get on television?
Really?
Because she's saying that rape is sexual. I think you roll with that. It's like, okay, wait a second. This chick's about to blow herself up. I don't know why.
At the very least, come back from commercial with
it. It seemed like he was going to commercial to help her or to help him. I don't know. Maybe he was embarrassed that she was on. I don't know which it was. But clearly
they... Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steaming love affair.
I've never seen the video for this.
Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steaming love affair.
Who is it?
Larry looked into the eyes.
Who is Pastor Manning?
Obama.
That guy.
The Mac
Daddy. We've talked to him before.
I know.
And they put a spell on Obama, the Mac Daddy. Obama said to Larry, oh, you're just my style and my kind. Oh, you look like just what I want, my man, woman, and half whatever look to look like. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I didn't think he was going to get that rhyme.
And Larry Sinclair had a steamy love affair in the back of a limo. And then at Holiday Inn.
Oh. I agree.
They had a steaming love affair.
Steamy love affair. Why is Pastor Manning anti-Obama, by the way?
I have no idea.
Jealous.
Maybe he was. He did not like Obama, clearly. Our friends at Mesa want to remind you that it's summertime. Patio's open. And I drive by to see how Mesa's doing. And a lot of people in the patio. They look very happy. So you should be happy, too. Enjoy the warm sunshine. Check out Mesa's $7.99 summer lunch specials being served daily starting now. By the way, hamburger that Maz raves about at a Mexican restaurant, it is a really good burger. I had it the other day. Plus bottomless chips and salsa. Go with your fresh-squeezed margaritas and 150 tequilas, the most in the state. So my other larger issue with the Trump accusation was... Well, I'll go here first. Eric Trump got spit on yesterday at the aviary. You want to get the number for the aviary, Brandon?
Sure.
Let's give them a call. One of their employees spit on Eric Trump. It's not in dispute. They said, yeah, this happened. It sucks. We're horrified.
Secret Service got involved.
Yeah.
Cops
he was in.
Involved.
He was in Secret Service custody. You don't spit on the president's son.
Of course you
just
hey,
don't.
You know what? You don't.
She knows him.
You don't spit on anyone.
No,
it's a pussy move.
I know. Excuse me for even saying that, but no, that's true.
I don't care if he was just Eric Trump and his dad wasn't president.
What in the world is wrong with people? I mean, isn't it just people are out of their minds? And like you said, he was taken into Secret Service custody. Because that's serious. That's the president's kid. We don't want people spitting on the president's kid.
Also, it's a waitress spitting on the president's kid. So how many other things has she spat on?
Ugh.
Yeah,
at that place.
I know. That is scary. I hadn't thought about that part.
Yeah.
And you know, with all the craziness going on.
Was it a woman that did it or was it a guy?
I don't know who
it was.
It was
a waitress, it said.
Was it a waitress?
A waitress at the aviary.
And so now the aviary, of course, is getting... Well, first of all... to the people who are saying, yeah, what the fuck is
that's
wrong
right.
with you?
Lock her up.
What is wrong with people? Really?
Yeah, that's...
You want
what does that
Trump's
do?
Kids to get spit on?
That's,
is that really good?
What does that do for anyone?
It just tells me that people are out of their minds. And then the other people, of course, threatening the restaurant, you know, we're going to kill you. We're going to shut you down. And so... what I was thinking about was, you know, and Kathy Griffin, too, with the Trump head and the various, you know, Madonna, let's blow up the White House. I mean, these stupid comments that, you know, people didn't do stupid stuff like that. But there's just so much rage. And I don't know. I guess I felt sort of nervous about assassination, because if you're willing to spit on the president's kid because he comes into your restaurant, I mean, how many people are willing to... You know,
that's
plus you got all these
that's
people.
Quite a leap, though, from spitting.
Well,
where you're opportunistic because he's there, which is stupid. But
spitting on the president's kid is something
like you're
really
assassinate
dumb.
Someone? No, I know, but
I mean, it's really crossing a huge line. I just see the lines people cross now, and I think, well, I don't know, maybe they go all the way. And I'm not encouraging
murder,
anybody.
I think murder's a pretty big line.
Well, there's a lot of people shooting at a lot of things. It just makes me nervous. I thought back to 81 and Reagan getting shot. And you know what's strange about Reagan is he's kind of revered now. But remember all the hatred for Reagan?
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
Ronald Reagan!
well, you lived in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
In Massachusetts. Oh, my God, did people hate Reagan.
Yeah.
And Judge Bork and, you know, a lot of things that went on in his Iran-Contra was a horrible mess. I mean, that was the end of his administration, really.
Yeah.
It was the last couple of years. It was a disaster. Which is why, you know, these independent counsels and these investigations, I don't know why anybody would ever want to be president, but when you think that Reagan was shot at, and Ford was shot at twice, and Kennedy was shot at once. Now, fortunately, nobody's done it, and probably Secret Service
has been shot.
Who knows? Maybe they're better. I hope they're better.
Oh, I'm sure they're
better. I mean, two presidents get hit in 18 years. They're on a 38-year winning streak. No president shot. Congratulations.
Hey, go Secret Service.
Oh, it just makes me, when people do stupid stuff like that, and then people go, yeah, that's great. Ah, ha, ha, he's such an asshole. Woo, he deserves it.
These
are adults.
Who raised you?
I don't know.
Who say that?
I hate terms like Trump derangement syndrome. But people do seem nuts. And I mean nuts. Alyssa Milano yesterday shows up at a Florida migrant center. Demanding to be let in to inspect.
They don't need her in there.
She's not helping anybody.
What the hell?
They turned her away.
Oh, good. Is that her complaint? Her look at she put her like big spectacles on.
Remember last time we heard she has been playing the field of Democratic candidates to see who would get the
who she's going to endorse.
All important Alyssa Milano endorsement. Mm. There's one Democrat who, quote, is pounding down her door. The hardest. Do you want to guess who is just desperately trying
Liz
to
Liz Warren.
No. That's what I would have thought.
Cory Booker.
Beto.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie?
Why would he give a shit?
I don't know. I think having her on your crazy team is somewhat polarizing.
I don't think that's good.
I would not want her.
I would not want her.
No, I don't want her endorsement. I certainly wouldn't be asking for it.
By the way,
crazy Bernie.
She was turned away yesterday. Although she did say that conditions, from what she could tell, were so bad that children were self-harming with pens and pencils. Now, I don't know how she saw that being turned away, but I didn't picture immigrant kids self-harming with pens and pencils, but, you know, who fucking knows? I don't know. By the way, she showed up in a chauffeur-driven Mercedes.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought that was adorable. Do we have audio, Brandon?
Yeah, this is right after she got turned away.
Wonderful.
Hi, everyone. So for some reason, my phone kept just turning off when I was there. So we tried to get in.
Conspiracy.
They wouldn't let us. They gave me a card.
Hmm. Get out of here.
To email.
Are you ready for this? Juice is better at these than her.
To yeah. email to
we'll hear his latest
make
too.
A visit request.
He's honoring someone.
So I don't know if you can see
nice
this
tease.
Email address on the bottom.
Can pause for a second?
Maybe we should all
access
email.
Denied.
Now, is it not obvious that you can't just show up here and say, I'm Alyssa Milano, I'm an actress, let me in?
Didn't you ever see Who's the Boss? That's me.
She's got a lot of time on her
hands. The kid from Who's the Boss and where's Tony and all of this?
I think her biggest
you have to make
TV
arrangements.
Appearance was the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah, she was quite,
probably their quite biggest present. Appearance.
And she's a goofus.
They took her signs away twice. She had two sets of signs, apparently. Anyway, of course you have to set that up ahead of time. Is she showing us, oh, they turned me away with these stupid paperwork. Duh, it's a migrant center. Of course they're going to turn
hold
you
it,
away.
What's your clearance?
They might even
access
let her in.
Access denied. Well,
can you just show up at any government facility and come right
no.
in?
No, no, and she had a congressman with her. And I don't know why the congressman wouldn't have his people, you know, get the request done. Anyway, go ahead. Let's see what else she has to say. I'm sure it's important.
And, tell them to let me in because I'm going to go back there tomorrow morning and again try to be let in. So what they want me to do is they want me to make an appointment to be let back in, and then usually that appointment is set up for 2 weeks later, of course.
You're not getting in tomorrow or today, that would be.
Have the time to
she's going
to
waste their time today, apparently.
So that's why I thought it was important that they just let me in. The assistant director did come out of his office, which I thought was good because he could have just stayed in there and claimed to be in a meeting.
So basically,
meeting,
they did exactly what they should do, and if anything, they were quite polite
about
you
it. You are the person wasting their time,
yeah.
which they don't have to waste.
They
it
did
doesn't
their
sound
job.
Like
in the beginning.
I'm sure they're glad they're getting her approval.
What's her point to all this?
We gotta.
She doesn't even know. She's pulling a Pastor Manning. She's searching
centers.
For words.
There are thousands of children at Homestead. They.
Why don't you take care of them?
Had pencils and pens taken away from them because they were cutting themselves. They are not allowed to have any physical contact with each other, to comfort each other, even if they're siblings. The 17-year-olds, once they turn 18, they're put into solitary confinement and then shackled and brought to an adult detention center. There are
sounds like
laws
she was
in
there.
Place
she know all
that
this.
They don't seem to be following. They're not following the Flores agreement at all. And
boring.
They wouldn't let me in again. So
bye.
I'm gonna guess this has 5 million likes.
Was over the fence, which there should be a live
only 1.6 thousand.
Oh, 1.6 thousand.
Me.
That's all.
And some amazing activists and advocates that were on the ground, lifting up hearts.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa. Thank you very much.
Hi.
Hi. The children.
All I hear coming out of your mouth is blah, 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 blah. Ooh, blah, blah, blah. What the hell you're saying? Just shut up.
Please.
Oh.
Wow.
I want to know how this story ends.
Has she been made nuts, or is she just a nut that we now know is nuts because she's talking a lot?
I think she's been made nuts.
Really not good at inspirational speeches, though.
Remember for a while, she was like really hot, and everyone searched Mr. Skin for her, and then she put out, she was digging baseball, and she put out that clothing line for women and baseball, and everything was going great.
Yeah, I used to really dig her.
I think she's been made nuts.
What's making her nuts, though? I mean, well, why are people made nuts?
A little bit of activism, and then trolls probably pushed her to a deep end.
She needs to go to Dr. Yaldo and have some better sunglasses or better regular glasses made, because those are too big for her face.
I agree. Those frames are not good. I'm glad you mentioned Dr. Yaldo, because LASIK is one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine. Changed the life of millions of people by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contacts. Dr. Yaldo's on all our Red Shovel sponsors. He's done 30,000 plus surgeries. His state of the art custom LASIK. People get better than 20/20 frequently. Super normal vision. And then the multifocal implants for people 45 plus, freeing you from your hated reading glasses. No more reading glasses. You have nothing to lose. And as Trudy mentioned, she could get much better frames, much cooler frames. Mm-hmm. I saw Dr. Roche say, by the way, he has a really cool pair of frames. I did ask him where he got them. I think they were Ben's, actually.
Oh, nice.
He had his own script put in them. Yeah, really cool. Wow. Oh, boy, he's got a lot going on there, by the way.
Yeah.
As always. Mm-hmm. Tell him Drew and Mike sent you to Dr. Yaldo for an additional discount. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to yelloweyecenter.com. And we're in the DealsIndeed.com studio. That means Dodge Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And DealsIndeed.com are in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they would love you to be a part of it. So let's see what's going on at this Jeep operation. The 19 Jeep Compass Limited at $188 a month. The new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for $277 a month. Or if you're a Ram truck type, how about the new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month?
I drive a Dodge Stratus!
0% financing on all 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock. As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. So take advantage of these deals right now. And I saw that Mark Wahlberg, was asked, what do you like best about Detroit? Because he opened another Wahlburgers in Flint, and he said, the Dream Cruise. He says he's bringing his 71 Oldsmobile Cutlass with a 442 to the Dream Cruise this year. Do you believe him?
All right. That sounds great.
Fake was the first thing I thought.
True.
Second thing I thought was, after he goes out, finds one, and then buys it in time for the Woodward Cruise.
Yeah, now that he mentioned it, yeah.
He has to buy a 71, though. That might not be that easy to find.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Money's no object.
So he better hustle so that he can drive it by the new Wahlburgers that's coincidentally opening. Yeah.
You are so skeptical. I am too.
Michigan has so many incredible things. Why pick that? Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Did you know Mark Wahlberg owns a car dealership?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How often is he there?
Not that often.
Eli is desperate to get his script. You know, he did that book on Denny in 2009 or so, 2010.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I mean, Denny's an incredible story. Why is there not a movie about Denny McClain?
Brandon, you want to answer that one?
Well, from what I know, there's been offers.
Yeah.
I just don't know if, you know, maybe studios and Denny can kind of agree on what, you know, which direction the movie will go.
What stories should be included?
Oh, everything. I mean, you can't pick and choose when you want. I mean, I don't know how pleased Denny would be to have a movie made about him.
Who would play him?
You'd need two people.
What?
Not to make up one.
Different ages.
Not to make one Denny. But, I mean.
That's what I thought you meant at first.
I know. It didn't sound good.
I'm looking at his old pick.
Denny had.
Josh Brolin.
Denny had lap band surgery like 5 years ago, and he said he lost a whole person. He was thin.
Yeah.
And he's gained it all back. Can't be this chocolate he's bringing to the studio every day, could it?
No, because Trudy eats it.
He eats tiny portions, too.
Yeah, he can't eat large portions anymore. Seems like there's a lot of tiny portions going in there. A lot of peanuts. I do see a lot of peanuts down here.
If you eat a lot of tiny portions without adding up how much they put into your system.
And they're chocolate and peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does that. That Hershey bar is the best, though. Denny McClain.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
Every time he struggles to get up the stairs, I just think, look at this 31-game winner coming up my stairs, and it looks like a real battle. And he always points out that he was a 22-game loser also.
Aw.
Which he was with the Senators.
Oh, God bless him.
Speaking of athletes aging, you didn't watch Real Sports, but Real Sports did a big thing on Don Nelson because, you know, he's a huge pothead now.
Yeah.
He looks so different, sounds so different.
Does he really?
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll cue
it up.
Was
he always a pothead,
though?
There's
a pretty good part. No,
Dr. Roche gave me a bunch of CBDs today.
Mm-hmm.
For the dogs, for depression, for all kinds of stuff. The what's going on with pot is...
Smoke weed every day.
It's pretty incredible.
I don't believe in the CBD thing.
Well, I'll find out.
If it works, I'm happy for you.
I got to tell you.
A fan of whatever works.
It worked on Mags.
Really?
Mags, you know, Greg said, try this on his neck. Did you try it too, Trudy?
On mine.
On your own neck? Did it help? Neck.
Yeah.
Buffalo soldier.
He said that their little dog, which was older, 12, 13 years, that the dog really became significantly more spry in 3 weeks. Well, Max is coming up the stairs again.
That's about
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now he's on glucosamine, too.
I know. He's.
That seems to be helping.
He's doing good.
He is really good.
I haven't smoked pot since the third grade. It was fucking with my libido. I couldn't get hard. Enough.
Am I the only one that has a dog that's OCD? He really is OCD.
I told you before, our dog growing up had, I think it was OCD, and then had detachment problems because we all left. So they put her on Prozac, and it worked. It helped her.
She just lay around then all day? Or
when she was on Prozac?
Yeah.
No, she acted like a dog again.
Oh.
I mean, she was laying all right, like gnawing at her legs and her arms.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mags, you know, he likes to go behind the shed where he can dig a hole in the under the fence.
God, that's good dog stuff to do.
Yeah. Which you got stuck in, by the way.
I'm shocked.
Bigger dig, Mac.
You got stuck coming back. And that was a while ago. But anyway, so I'm always like, what is he doing behind the shed all the time? It's a small area. Why is he behind the shed? Why can't I see him? So I'll call him, and he starts running down the path by the shed, and then he goes inside the two benches, which are pretty close to the shed, and he runs down inside the fence. Then he runs to the front of the thing, to the fence on the side. Instead of going across the grass, he runs up the side of the yard, and then he cuts across when he gets to the stairs and always goes up the left side.
That is weird.
Layla just charges across the yard, the shortest distance between two points, and bangs up the stairs, right, left, middle, whatever.
Huh. He is OCD.
Yeah, seems to be.
He's a procedural person.
And this one plant, four houses down that way, he pees every single time in the same place. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're getting close to him. I'm like, wow, he's not even in the yard yet. Is he going to miss it this time? And then he seems to pause, and he's like, he crawls in the yard slowly, moves up, and he gets to it. And he's like, takes a pee. One time he took a dump. Once. Just only once. But and then he's on his way.
Wow.
I know.
What?
Pretty weird.
What is that plant to him?
I don't know.
I don't stop it all the way. You know, it comes out on my clothes.
It's amazing it's not dead.
Is that actual audio of Mags? Wait, play that actual audio.
I don't stop it all the way. You know, it comes out on my clothes.
That'd be so
and
weird.
And don't get me started about the piss.
That would be so weird if he could talk and that was his voice. It would be so weird. I would be really upset.
Jabba's.
It kind of works out for him.
Sometimes when I urine, I don't stop it all the way. You know, it comes out on my clothes.
No, he doesn't sound like that.
Sometimes when I urine.
Can you guys play the audio of the kidnapper from 45 years ago? Have you heard that weird call?
No.
This woman was kidnapped at 14. She's been missing 45 years. They think she's dead. But they do have this phone call from this dude who's demanding a ransom, and his voice is fucked up.
45.
Wow. A Jackson.
a total Jackson.
Wow.
I wonder if the whole call is somewhere because they play.
But your daughter's life is the butter topping.
Chilling new audio released in a decades-old cold case as police seek answers in a young girl's disappearance.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Well, this case has weighed heavily on the minds of investigators with the Burlington City Police Department and even the FBI today. Marks 45 years since Margaret Fox went missing, and authorities released a disturbing phone call made days just after she disappeared.
$10,000 might be a lot of bread. But your daughter's life is a butter topic.
This phone call just made public
Ferrigno.
By authorities reiterate.
Is it Lou Ferrigno?
It does sound a little like him. He says,
butter bread is a blah, blah, blah.
Butter, 10,000 is a lot of ransom.
But he says
it's buttered bread. Your daughter's life is the topping.
What? Something like that.
$10,000 might be a lot of bread, but your daughter's life is the buttered topping.
What the fuck? Why are you making a dumb cliche like that? It's not even a cliche. What is that?
But your daughter's life is the buttered topping.
Who is this?
This phone call.
Who has this?
What? Like he's going to go, this is Drew Lane.
Lou Ferrigno.
After the 14-year-old disappeared in Burlington City 45 years ago. Authorities released the call today, hoping someone recognizes who it is. Take another close listen. $10,000 might be a lot of bread, but your daughter's life is the butter topic.
Who is it?
Authorities say Fox
went... I don't think it's the guy.
What? What?
$10,000 is a lot
of
bread.
I couldn't hear that last part. But the connection just got really bad. Thanks a lot, though. Okay.
$10,000.
Oh, that reminded me. Okay, we got to call Andy Dick. I'm really excited to call Andy Dick. I have one thing before I want to call Andy Dick, but I want to hear...
I want to show you Don Nelson, too.
OJ has posted about Michael Jackson and the 10-year anniversary of his death, and who better to give tribute to Michael Jackson than OJ Simpson?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, I woke up this morning, they were talking about Michael Jackson's 10th anniversary of his death. Got me thinking about Michael. I met Michael some like 100 years ago. His family moved down the hill from me in Encino, and I'd see him around. I actually got to be good friends with
Is he kind of mad? Like how he brings it all back to him?
Yes, very much so. Although he was really good friends with Jermaine. Did you get that?
Yes.
In my backyard with a neighbor when he got word that his nephew was sent home from summer camp because they found out he had cancer, and I guess it had something to do with insurance, and they couldn't have him at the camp.
It's BS.
He
got a little upset. They made it up.
We got to do something about that. So he came up with the idea. He called some of his friends. He was a celebrity. He called some of his friends.
Oh, he was
a celebrity?
I called
Michael. He was real hot there to see if he would help. And we got together to help in the beginning of Camp Good Times, a camp for kids with cancer. Now, I know there are probably many similar camps like that around the country now.
Oh, no.
Would appreciate your donation.
Anything to be around children.
Years later, my house was under siege by the media, and I somehow got out. And I was staying at Don Omeyer's house, and I was getting my kids on the weekends, and they would come up. Don had a great house, the late Don Omeyer, I should say. He had a great house, but it was restrictive. Michael found out, he called me and said, OJ, you got to take the kids up to Neverland Ranch. They love it. And
nice.
I did. And it
you
was
stay
wondrous.
Over there and the children can stay with
the
me.
The kids would come up. They would
just
bring
Justin.
Some of their friends. And it was so great
Keep
that I started bringing my adult friends up there. Michael was never there, but he always had gifts for the kids. My point is, I could never debate anybody about Michael Jackson. I didn't know enough about his private life to do that. What I do know is my experience with him is that he was a kind and generous soul.
Ignorant fool.
Take care.
Okay,
nice.
Because he didn't see Michael Jackson rape any kids, then he's good.
Yeah.
So basically, since I've never seen OJ murder anybody, I think OJ's a good dude.
He's been very nice to you, Brandon.
Yeah, he didn't kill me.
Just cut everything open.
I don't know if it's smart to reference children in a Michael Jackson story to honor him.
No.
It'd be like mentioning, you know, once I was out on propofol and I was thinking about Michael Jackson. Or, you know, I bought these kids from somebody and it reminded me about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So, by the way, has anyone else died because they were addicted to propofol?
Oh.
I've never heard of anyone.
Well, that's because he had the money or the fame to keep getting it.
But any
Most
famous
people just
people
turn to heroin and overdose.
It's so weird.
Let's call the rock doc.
Also, I'm trying to figure out, has anyone ever bought kids like that?
Oh, probably.
I mean, Madonna took that kid.
Yeah,
I don't think she paid for it.
Well, she had to build a hospital there.
But he literally paid someone to take their kids and
your
wife stay the fuck
gave
away.
You two children as a present because she knew you wanted to be a father.
Yeah, that's a lovely gesture.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And, I mean, not to mention the molestation, just leaving that entirely out of it. It just seems like a strange thing that we are supposed to honor him so entirely on the 10th anniversary.
Hey, Juice lives in an O-negative zone, Drew. He doesn't
think
about any debt.
Right. But
I just this picture that I keep in my golf cart. What? So he planned that.
Why did he have that
picture? Why couldn't he just do it whenever he found that picture? Why did he have to do it out on the course?
Oh, yeah, because that's his setting now. That's his set.
But it sounds like shit.
His studio is the golf cart.
I do my podcast live from a golf cart.
I'm kind of jealous. I wish I could golf every single day. The Juice has a great life.
He needs a windscreen, though.
I got rid of that wife of mine.
He'll get one.
Keep that up. Plus, he's got too much concealer on. It's a common mistake people make.
There's some great
memes, getting made up for those.
When Leaving Neverland came out, the people that were saying, how can they do this on the 10th anniversary of his death? Are you kidding me? I mean, honest to God.
The 10th
anniversary of his death is so important. How dare these fucking molested kids come out and soil it?
I saw Judd Apatow get... he got attacked on Twitter last night.
For what?
Well, somebody had tweeted in kind of a memoriam of Michael Jackson celebrating his life. And,
oh, God.
And Judd Apatow just retweeted it and asked, hey, did you celebrate the pedophilia too?
Good.
And so people just went crazy on it.
Yeah, because his fans are nuts.
I'd try to find it, but Judd Apatow tweets at least 15 times an hour.
Judd Apatow must have just run into a buzzsaw. He had no idea it was coming. Because I had the same thing happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have another great memory of Michael Jackson.
Did you see Michael walk into the room while you were watching the movie?
Yes.
How was he dressed?
He was nude. He started to tell us it was natural. It's just normal.
Could you tell whether or not his penis was erect?
It was. It was. He had a hard-on.
That's the guy they want to
It's the voice. It's the voice. I'm not laughing.
The accuser described Jackson urging him to drink alcohol, beginning the very day the Bashir documentary was broadcast in the United States.
He told me if I knew what Jesus juice was.
It's Dan Harris.
I told him, I don't know. And then he's like, oh,
is that Dan
wine.
Harris?
Yeah, it's kind
And then he's like, I should have some because it will relax me. Because he said, like, oh, I'm stressed out because all the stuff on the news. He was like, drink it, drink it. So I just started drinking it.
Did you ever mention to Mr. Jackson that it wasn't probably a good idea for you to be drinking?
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, it wasn't really a good idea for me drinking because I only had one kidney. But he would just say, it's okay, and he would just keep on telling me to drink.
Did you ever drink alcohol at Neverland at a time when Michael Jackson wasn't there?
No.
On the nights that he was there, were you drinking alcohol every night?
Yes, it was like pretty much we would drink white wine, then we'd drink red wine, and then we'd drink vodka.
Oh, they just want money.
Understand that it is a tricky proposition for a 44-year-old man to convince a 13-year-old child that it's okay to engage in sex acts with him. That's not something he would have done in the first 10 minutes of their meeting. That requires an evolution of time. How does the kid make something like this up? I mean, nobody's that good of an actor, for Pete's sake. This is real. This is exactly what happened. We have an incredibly powerful man who is a pedophile. A 44-year-old man who's molested a 13-year-old boy. A man of unimaginable wealth and power whose sexual desire for a teenage boy is his downfall.
Wow.
Crazy. Insane.
Well, he had the means.
Ignorant fool.
I think Janet Jackson was saying that. Michael will live on. I think he's very much at peace. He will live on. And they quoted her back in, I think it was 95, saying that the Jordan Chandler thing, it was a money grab, which a lot of these kids didn't get money.
Doesn't help that Jordy Chandler got a lot of money.
$23 million. But why'd he pay him $23 million if it wasn't true?
So he was being very mean.
But, you know, if he was really upset about that, if he's like, God, $23 million, this fucking sucks. Wouldn't you think that he wouldn't take the 12-year-old out on the next tour?
They lie.
And dress him up like him and separate him from his parents and meet James Safechuck.
Look at his butthole.
Wouldn't you just think? And by the way, after he'd blown a kid a few times, did they still call him Mr. Jackson?
Oh, good question.
These things that go through one's mind when you're listening to this trash. Wow. Oh, my God.
There was, did you read this story? And at the risk of thanks for listening to the podcast, from the first responders talking about handling his body.
Is that a new story?
It was something I was skimming this morning. And they were talking about how, you know, he'd always worn the flowing wigs and so.
Oh, yeah. He was bald, basically.
Yeah. Well, and they were describing it sort of piece by piece and how his family wanted to ensure that in case anybody ever dug him up, he'd be fully accoutremented in his Michael Jackson stuff.
God.
And his wig and all
his
of his
military
stuff.
Uniform.
They put everything on him and then they sealed his casket in cement.
Oh, please. No one wants to dig him up. Well, unless it's for DNA or some kind of weird testing.
Was, you know, when he died.
He's no longer with us.
He died.
It's so silly, but when that came out that he was bald, that was a big deal. People were like, what? He was wearing wigs? What?
Yeah.
But yeah.
His hair was quite something.
Well, the person seemed, you know, sort of affected by the fact that when they picked, you know, when they found him and his hair, and they're like, wow, that had to have hurt. That probably is why he got addicted to painkillers.
Oh, you mean his burn on the scalp?
Yeah, not that they're trying to be, because he had all these
well, that was his excuse.
Grafts afterwards. Gary grafts.
Skin
grafts.
Oh, hot. Well, that's how he got on opiates originally.
Right,
but
yeah.
That's when, you know, when Jordy Chandler, when that whole thing, Jackson spending the night with him all those nights, and all of a sudden the Chandler father found out and they were going after Michael, and Michael in very smartly got Johnny Cochran to handle that one. And he paid the $23 million, and then he would, you know, they photographed my penis, sweet. Can we have my penis, my buttocks? That'd be nice for a review on his anniversary.
My penis, my buttocks.
That was when he said, I have a painkiller addiction, and it makes me spend the night with children, and makes me do crazy things, and I'm going to Betty Ford. I'm going to get better. And then he came. Then I came out, and I found a new child to go on tour with me, dressed him just like me. I separated him from his family. And we did beautiful things. We drank Jesus juice together. But that was, just so weird.
Recently concerning allegations of improper conduct on my part.
Oh, here we go.
These statements about me are totally false. As I have maintained from the very beginning, I am hoping for a speedy end to this horrifying experience to which
I
have been subjected.
He's good.
In this statement respond to all of the false allegations being made against me, since my lawyers have advised me that this is not the proper forum in which to do that. I will say that I am particularly upset by the handling of this mass matter by the incredible, terrible mass media.
It's very angry.
At every opportunity, the
by
media
the way, the
has
media
dissected
was so
and
restrained
manipulated
with that story.
They are fake news.
I ask all of you to wait and hear the truth before you label or condemn me.
Yeah,
don't treat me like a criminal, because I am innocent. I have been forced to submit to a dehumanizing and humiliating examination by the Santa Barbara County Sheriff Department and the Los Angeles Police Department earlier this week. They served a search warrant on me which allowed them to view and photograph my body, including my penis, my buttocks, my lower torso, thighs, and any other area that they wanted. They were supposedly looking for any discoloration, spotting, blotches, or other evidence
of
the
kid identified your penis
called vitiligo, which I have previously spoken about. It was a nightmare, a horrifying
that
nightmare.
That we all call vitiligo.
But if this is what I have to endure to prove my innocence, my complete innocence.
Yeah, $23 million ended
so
up proving it.
Throughout my life, I have only tried to help thousands upon thousands of children to live happy lives. It brings tears to my eyes.
Like many pedophiles.
He's such a nice guy.
I am not guilty of these allegations. But if I am guilty of anything, it is of giving all that I have to give to help children all over the world.
Yes, you can hang out with them.
It is of loving children of all ages and races.
Not all ages.
It is of gaining sheer joy.
And not all genders either.
Innocent and smiling faces. It is of enjoying through them the childhood that I missed
myself. Why didn't he spend the night
myself?
With girls if he liked children
if
in his
I
bed
am
so much?
Guilty of anything, they have cooties. It is of believing what God said about children. Suffer little children to come unto me.
Michael Jackson.
And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In no way do I think that I am God, but I do try to be God-like in my heart.
Ooh.
I am totally innocent of any wrongdoing. And I know these terrible allegations will all be proven false.
By my $23 million.
To my friends and fans, thank you very much for all of your support. Together, we will see this through to the very end. What? I love you very much.
I love you.
And may God bless you all. I love you.
But, you know, when you think about the media back then, those depositions were never really... They could have printed all that stuff.
Yeah.
Those depositions about him spending the night in that kid's bed for 368 straight nights. The Jesus juice. It wasn't until really the internet really started rocking.
Yeah. That got out.
So.
Why was that live from Neverland?
I don't know why that was.
I remember that being live. Did he break into regular programming?
I can't get over all that happening in real time while we were just floating along. Just kids crashing in his bed.
Laying on the bed, and he told me that men have to masturbate. He told me if I knew how.
And what did you say?
I said no. He told me that he wanted to teach me.
Tell us what happened.
So we were lying in the bed, and then he started rubbing me.
Rubbing you how?
He put his hand down my pants, and he started rubbing me.
What part of your body was he touching?
Stone does seem really into
my
Dan
private
Harris.
Area.
Could you tell whether or not his body was moving while he was masturbating
How'd
you?
How did Dan Harris get this?
Yes, he was moving. Kind of looked like he was touching
guy.
Himself.
Did you look over to see his eyes at any time?
Yes, his eyes were like squinching real tight.
Ew. You got a 12-year-old.
Do you think they had like, you know, points when they had to do a retake because they messed up the script and they're like, God, man, I was almost nailed that. But
I'd love to get Dan
said
Harris.
Said panis, not penis.
Dan Harris seems like he'd be a fun guy to have on.
He has a podcast that's pretty cool.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's great.
Is it really cool?
It kind of is.
What's it about?
It's not about being your best or what was his book about?
Like 10 minutes of something happy or
10%
happiness.
I'm that's pretty sure that's the name of his podcast, 10% Happier with Dan Harris.
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was cool. He's good. I have nothing else.
I love him on
he's
TV.
Great on the,
he's,
yeah,
yeah,
the
he's really good. Okay, it is June. It's still June. It's Odd Fort and Holly, and they've got all kinds of things jumping over there. Maz celebrating all these June events most of the time. The last couple weeks he's been working. But when he is at Zod Ford, he can help you lease the all-new 19 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $99 a month. Or in Maz's absence, Gary, his personal sales manager, can help you lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $144 a month. By the way, he had a great time with the person that leased the car that had the extra year payments on it.
Oh, that's right. They went. They used his tickets.
Yeah, Maz used his tickets to attend the championship.
That's bullshit.
They had a great time. So it turned out to be a good deal. Regardless if you care to celebrate any of these June events like Cat, Iced Tea, or Soul Food Month, be sure to include Zod Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County in your celebrations. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Got it.
And Dr. Roche today, I was visiting, and actually was giving him some of Maz's tickets.
Really?
Yeah, he's going on Saturday with grandkids and stuff.
Okay, that's cool.
And he was talking about, because I said, what's going on? You guys, is it still boobs, boobs, always boobs, number one?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, right now, it's really lipo and body tight.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and boob tight, which I forget the number. He always gives centimeters and stuff. But he said, we raised this one girl's chest this many centimeters.
No, but it's true.
You see a picture?
It looks really good.
It does look really good.
Yeah.
And those butt lifts are really good, too. I just never was in favor of doing that. But the pictures are amazing. That pinched look, that pinched waist, right. and all of a sudden that
great ass,
that fuller ass, and it's the difference is when you're looking at Black China, Greg says they got to be doing that 10 times to get that,
yeah.
Or Kim Kardashian.
And damn, that was a lot of ass.
He doesn't like that look as much, but the pictures of the people, it's amazing. Plus, what comes out of their stomach when they take all the fat out of there to put into their ass.
Yeah.
That pinched look, though, it's really a good look.
Right. So,
hello, poop shoots.
But there's always boobs and more boobs.
Bad. And 360 lipo is what he was talking about there, which people are interested in, too, because they want to be in swimsuits and shorts and stuff and not have cellulite. And also, you know, like smooth it all out. Zerona for cellulite and 360 lipo to sculpt your body. And they actually have the rest of the June specials for fathers. You know, why not, guys? Also, the surgical and non-surgical procedures for brides, moms of the brides, grooms, and injectables. Buy one syringe of Restylane, get $100 off the second syringe, and buy two areas of Botox, Dysport, and get $100 off the third area. And Diva, which they, breaking news, sent me a message today, a survey by Real Self. One in five women who plan to have cosmetic surgery, Diva is 100% worth it, according to all of the women who had it for the various reasons that you might use Diva.
Uh-huh.
Bladder incontinence or, you know, feeling, tightening, etc.
Yeah.
So there you go. And
I saw some very close-up pictures of Diva today.
Oh, really?
Well, oh, he's so clinical about it.
It's very scientific.
I can't get that clinical. I still feel like, oh, my God.
That's what I'm doing.
But, you know, he's trying to get the point across of what they're doing. You know what else he told me today? We were talking about, you know, we were talking about travel sports. And Greg said, I get people coming in here, and they want me to put their kids on HGH. Because they're playing youth hockey.
They're tall and,
or they're playing, you know, youth. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. What is with the sports parents? I knew they were bad. I know sports parents have gotten crazier. I always thought they would get better because, you know, all the PC pressure. Wouldn't you think that would hit the parents in terms of how they act at these sporting events?
Well, yeah, you would think that.
But it seems like they all act the same way, so it's canceled out.
Right. It's,
oh, it's really
group
strange.
Mentality. But when you dick with your kids at that age, I mean, you know, not knowing the ramifications of how they'll mature on their own.
Well, plus the cost.
I mean, that's true.
Honest to God, between travel sports, HGH, and what about the kids that can't afford HGH? What a,
screwed!
I mean, I don't know. It just, it's weird because people complain about privilege in so many ways, you know, like where you live or the color of your skin. But, I mean, we're talking about kids, 10 years old, 12 years old, on HGH. And, you know, spending thousands of dollars to play, going showcases and travel. And I got one really sad note from Carol on this topic. By the way, Dr. Roche's number is 248-338-1110. 248-338-1110.
DROCHE.com.
Amen. Carol, oh, God, this is so sad. She said, and I got a note, too, from a guy who says that his kids would not have been able to play against competition that was good enough. For I don't know what I don't I'm not I can't remember how they I don't think they're playing professional sports, but I think maybe they got somebody got a scholarship in the family or something like that. He was a big proponent. It does seem that moms are very not big fans of travel sports. Dads are mixed in from the feedback I get. Dads are mixed. Some insist that it's the only way they can play against the best, and others say, "Oh my God, the cost! Oh my God, the traveling! Oh my God, the schedule." She says, "Dear Drew, I've been listening to you since your early days in Detroit. I've been struggling lately with the topic of organized sports, and I'll tell you why. My son was born in 1990, began rollerblading street hockey at 3. When he's 4 and a half, his dad said he was going to put him into hockey and do nothing of organized sports. I assume it'd be kids getting together to rink a couple times a week for some fun and exercise." That's what I thought. The guy that emailed and said, "If 7-year-olds aren't playing at the same time at the same field every week, something's wrong." And I couldn't agree more, but anyway. She says, "Boy, was I wrong. I got a quick education and what it all entailed. I went along with it because my son was so cute and excited about it. After attending the first few games, I was pretty disgusted with the parents. They badgered kids, berated them, berated other kids. I'm talking some 5-year-olds. I felt bad for a lot of the kids. At any rate, my son over the years moved up the ranks, became a very good player, was captain of several teams. During this period, we were broke. Everything went to hockey. It was not what I originally thought it would be. I didn't realize it would morph into a monster. We never took a vacation. We never went to the movies. Couldn't enroll my son in catechism because missing practice yet for his career. His career. This is when he's, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. Everything was hockey, skate sticks, goalie pads, helmets. I don't know the amount of money spent, but it was in the tens of thousands of dollars. Then came high school. Hockey tryouts came. $125 to tryout. Mind you, we weren't the dentist who bought the team uniforms. We weren't the restaurant owners who could sponsor the team. They were of, you know, normal means. So at some point, I'm just summarizing, he didn't make a certain team, you know, after high school. He was unable to make the top teams.
Oh, wow.
And turned into a very quiet, lazy, depressed young man. Not knowing how to deal things, he started dabbling in drugs. I never knew. He told me a few years ago. She tried to help him. And he told me he was so lost after not making the team. He told me a lot of things. He resented his dad for not being his dad, but rather trying to be his friend. And then he informed her that he and his father are using drugs together. This is nothing to do with sports. Well, in my opinion, it doesn't. So eventually he did get clean. He contacted old hockey friends, started playing again for fun, but it was short-lived. He died of a fentanyl overdose.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So she then kind of summarizes, says adults making big promises to kids, kids eating it up, believing they'll be Red Wings when they grow up. Yeah, tough story. So, yeah, Carol, thanks for sending that. That was not the best travel sports story. That was really tough. Man. Yeah, I get a lot of those about the kids not liking it. Yeah, I don't want to stay stuck on this topic, but I just thought that response was really something. Whew. So let's see, where were we? Where are so many things.
Hey, Beth Chapman died today.
Yeah, Beth Chapman died. Eminem's dad died, too.
Oh, wow.
He got some time in Eminem songs.
What a death triangle.
He got some wonderful references in Eminem songs.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He never knew his dad, did he?
No.
Never did.
No. Mm-mm.
No, and when his dad tried to get back in his life, obviously, at that point, it was a hard no.
You know, how pathetic that is that these deadbeats try to return to their superstar kids' lives. How embarrassing that is.
Yeah, and heartbreaking for the kid.
And he is no longer with us.
He died.
I don't know much about the Eminem's dad trying to get back with him. Was that something that he talked about, Eminem?
I don't know. Did his dad raise that and raise him?
No, he was no. He was out.
Yeah.
He was gone, I think. Wasn't he gone after he was within months of his birth? I think he was gone. Gone.
Yeah.
I also was...
Why is he even a note?
It was also so nice to read. I know, he doesn't even deserve an obit. It was really nice to read, too, that he was 22 and M's mother was 15 when he got pregnant with Eminem.
Great.
Oh, really?
And so they got married, probably to keep him from being arrested. But that's when I say... I don't understand why these teen births. Why aren't these guys just thrown in the fucking pokey? 20-year-olds should not be banging 14-year-old girls.
Yeah. Is enough made like of Eminem and
no more pussy for you
and where he came from to where he is today. You know, remember when he became popular, everybody was horrified by him.
Yeah.
Because he was so bad. But then look at what he is today. And he adopted, two kids. One was
his brother too.
Yeah, that's right.
Raised his brother, Nate. Yeah.
I mean, he seems like a very good guy.
Yeah.
That's why you probably never hear any backlash against him today.
Well, I think with a guy like him, I mean, listen to those songs. He's a very intelligent guy. And, he, at some point he was going to get it right. He flushed out a lot of the crap, which, oh, my God.
And he made some compelling music about it as well.
Yeah.
He didn't like the album that it came.
I just think it's just funny thinking back to, when those first couple albums were out and how everybody hated him. It's like, you don't know the person.
He kind of almost fed on that, too, though.
Oh, he absolutely did.
It generated a lot of good songs.
Oh, I doubt he would have been what he... we thank his dad for leaving the family, for bringing us some great music.
Yeah.
He certainly helped. I want to look up Eminem on Google Play and see what his biggest songs are. I just discovered that, Trudy. Do you look at the top songs on Google Play when you go on there?
I don't.
You know how it says top songs?
I've never looked at that function.
I know. I'm obsessed with it now. Now I'm looking up all bands.
Lose Yourself has to be number
one. I was
going
to say, it's got to be Lose Yourself. I'm gonna bet Rap God is two or three.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I think Slim Shady
might be his best song ever.
Don't forget that with people like Eminem, when they have something new, it'll just get... Now these new things get so many millions of downloads that it impacts the list. So you can kind of almost skip those. But yeah, Lose Yourself is number one. Lucky You. Featuring Joyner Lucas. That's a new song. Venom, which is new.
Oh, yeah.
Till I Collapse.
That's a good one.
So they're all,
like that one.
The Ringer. I think that's the song I like. That's a new song, right?
My Name Is isn't in the top five.
Kill Shot.
It's all new stuff.
Killshot the Monster, River, featuring Ed Sheeran.
Ew.
Oh, that song is terrible.
Gross. The Real Slim Shady.
Good one.
Fall, Rap God, Not Alike, Love the Way You Lie.
Right.
Without Me, Greatest, Not Afraid, Kamikaze, Mockingbird, The Way I Am, Berserk.
My Name Is and Stan aren't in there?
I know Stan. That's my favorite Eminem song by a mile.
Still?
Which version? The one
I do like Stan a lot.
Elton or...
I love the one with Elton. Yeah, I do.
The one they did on SNL
like
when they made out at the end.
That was cool, too.
That was Horatio Sands.
That was so funny. It was the suit that made that whole bit funny.
It really was. Yeah.
And Trudy, you totally nailed Elton John looks like the Attorney General. It is so weird. Bill Barr and Elton John are twins.
Wasn't Bill Barr just rocking out the other day or playing a saxophone or something?
What? Bill Barr was rocking out?
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't see Bill Barr playing a saxophone? It was a saxophone, wasn't it?
I think so. It was something Mike Clark would hate.
Yeah, it was a horn. So therefore, it's funny. I was thinking about that at Seeger. There's a horn section. Not just alto. Alto is his own entity, but there's a horn section behind him. And I just kept thinking, Clark would be so mad at that section.
Why did he hate horns?
He just doesn't like the about horns. Sound.
He loved guitars, though. I mean, he loved guitars. You wouldn't want horns in a rock song.
He hated horns. So funny.
So, I think we should dare to call Andy Dick at this point. Because otherwise we won't do it, or it'll be late in the show.
Wow.
I'll be tired.
Are you sure it's not too early? It might be too early out there.
Oh, no. No, it's not too early.
Yeah, what if he's busy or eating dinner or during the dinner hour?
He's 3 hours ahead. You're 3 hours ahead of us. It's early afternoon for Andy, which I never think about, by the way, when we call him.
Time's
everywhere.
You know what's funny about that? I was listening to a podcast about, I don't know what, some nerdy thing. Do you know time is the same everywhere? In the sky? There's no time zones in the sky, obviously, because of planes. That was the whole story, and all I can think of is, wow, time really is the same everywhere.
That's a really cool piece of data.
The whole episode was pretty nerdy about time zones and how they were created.
Did you dial him already?
No.
One step further with that thought. We were talking about the Everest thing, Zeus and I, at home.
Oh.
And that
after
was
after John Oliver?
Right, after John Oliver and the guy that made the highest cell phone call on Earth. And he goes, aren't planes higher than that? And I'm like, yeah, but they're not on Earth.
30,000 feet, 31,000.
They're not on Earth. Right, they're above the Earth in the air.
Yeah, pretty stupid.
Right? No.
What? No? Zeus is disputing this.
That the air is part of the Earth.
You'll be able to hear him, but he's disputing it.
By the way, what's the cell tower near the top of Mount Everest?
He probably uses a satellite phone.
That's not a cell phone call.
The whole thing's dumb.
Well, if that's not the highest phone call, though, because the astronauts have made phone calls. So there's...
I don't know why that guy, because he said it was.
Thus proving John Oliver's point.
Brandon?
Sure you don't want to try these social security numbers?
He's just putting it on.
I do want to call that number, because it's a fairly new number. But
I got two.
It's funny, just when I get worn out by these social security numbers, it seems like we hit on a big one.
I had a call from somebody who said my student loan was due.
Uh-oh, why am I even paying it?
Ah, that was a good one.
Dave and mine?
It's Andy Dick!
I only picked up because you. I have a thing where I don't the fuck pick up when I'm in the bathtub.
Oh, right.
Sweet.
Soak.
I thought we were interrupting something.
It's you. Uh-huh. I'm doing a detox bath because I felt sick last night, but I feel great now. I think I got food poisoning because I didn't cook my steak I bought good enough. I like it raw, but this one was like raw. Ugh.
Wow. Yeah, I never get into the raw meat thing. But, you know, Mark, there were a couple things we wanted to ask Andy, and we can't forget. Go ahead. One of them was about Ethan Hawke you wanted to ask him.
Well, Ethan Hawke popped up on the show yesterday, and we have a theory that Ethan Hawke wants everyone to know that he's a really good musician because he does a lot of songs and movies. And then we thought of Reality Bites.
And he plays the Kink song Waterloo Sunset in Leaving Juliet or Juliet Nude or something.
One of those ones, yeah.
Wait, what about Sunset?
He played Waterloo Sunset. He sang it in a movie that just came out last year. It's Juliet something. And he played the organ, I think, when he was singing. The Kinks, it's an old Kinks song. And then, of course, he sings in Reality Bites, which you were in. And so we thought Andy will have a theory about this.
Okay, well, it's a very simple theory. But and it's not mine. I heard it, and I'm like, you know what? That's it. You're right. But first, I want to say, in reality, Vice, is it echoey? Because I really am in bathtub.
Yeah.
And it looks like I'm. It looks like one of those fail videos where a girl's sitting there, and then all of a sudden a brown cloud comes out from around her because she has diarrhea. She fills the top with it, and everybody jumps out. But mine is this weird brown clay that sucks out.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen that. I think you have one on your Instagram.
I know that stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
I do it like 3 times a year. But all, because I got sick, I literally woke up in the middle of the night and vomited. But anyway, back to the theory. The
Ethan Hawke theory.
Not all of them. But the best or the most edgy rock stars want to be actors or comedians, right?
Sure.
And every single, you know, edgy comedian or actor wants to be a rock star.
That's true. That is true.
And that's just the fact, Jack. Ethan makes fucking awesome movies. Wait, am I allowed to swear? I can't remember.
Yeah, yes, oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he makes... Did you see those movies? Did you see Tape?
Tape?
Is that a movie?
Yeah, that was actually Steven Soderbergh or Richard Linklater. You know, I mixed up Steven Soderbergh and Richard Linklater, but he made this movie, Ethan was in it. And it's all shot in one fucking shot. It's so fucking good. It was all in a hotel room, and it's really trippy. I loved it so much. It was a play first, and I loved it so much. I was teaching an acting class, and I was making everybody learn it, and we were going to put it on. But then I shut down the class because I got kicked out of the sober living. I was doing it in a sober living, that one that I lived in Malibu for 2 years, but I got kicked out because I had a sip during that autism, fundraiser.
Andy, you are kicked out of more things than anyone I know.
Oh, trust me. They see me. I walk in the door, and they literally, I know they say, I can't wait to be the one to kick them out. I know they do. And they wait for anything. Now, this one was deserved. Remember, I was doing a bench for autism. This is horrible, and I apologize. I apologize to the mayor of Fullerton. That's where it was, downtown Fullerton. I'm on stage doing this benefit, the head guy, trying to raise money for autism. And the guy that was running it, and this, remember, I'm 2 years sober at this point. I got up. First of all, the guy running it said, what can I get you? I'll get you anything. And I looked around the room, and I saw everybody was drinking this very nice wine, and that kind of was my thing. You know, that was my jam. So I said, can you go out? I don't know, and find the best bottle of Pinot. And I'm in my mind going, I'll just have a little sip. No one will know. I'll slip back into my sober living. It's been 2 fucking years anyway. So, you know, cut to the whole bottle's gone. And they call my name to go on stage.
Oh, boy.
And I have a low resistance. I haven't drank for 2 fucking years. Ooh. I'm on stage, and I just start, and it didn't work the way it used to. It made me depressed. I was melancholy and morose, and I was just starting to think, oh, God, I miss the 90s. I was doing so well in the 90s. I was making millions in the 90s. I don't have any of that money. None of my property. Here it comes. Hold tight. I have no property left. I don't even have a car. And I live in this rehab. And for free, I'm donating my time doing comedy. No, wait for it. We gotta wait.
No, you're bitching though about not getting paid for this event, right?
I'm up here. Yeah, and I can't remember. They might, but you know, it's a benefit. You know, like I just did a benefit for a animal rescue the other day. Yeah, you know that they're trying to raise money, not give it away. But so I didn't, that one that I did in New Orleans, I didn't get paid. That was a big show. It all went to the Humane Society.
Sounds like you're still a little upset about not being paid.
No, I didn't. It wasn't. I was drunk.
I know.
That's the point. And I said, and now I'm up here in downtown Fullerton doing comedy for retards.
Oh.
Oh, where's the laughter now, Dave and Mike? I have never cleared a room faster. And there was 1,000 people. It was like I was a fire. And somebody yelled fire. They ran out of the room. And, of course, I got in big fucking. It didn't go. Well, now it will.
Oh, boy.
Talk That's about. Right. Please give a. I need to do more cameos.
Yeah.
Oh, you need some more cameos?
Tell your audience.
Yeah.
Tell your audience about cameos.
They were ordering cameos
I'm
from you.
A lot.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
oh,
Detroit.
Yeah, you did.
I noticed on Instagram you were just in Kansas City. You did a radio interview with Johnny Dare. Drew, you kind of know Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually asked him if he knows you, and he said that he does. He knows him.
Yeah, and you did 4 shows in Kansas City. How did those go?
Wait. You're glossing over Johnny Dare. Do you have beef? Like, do you not like him?
No, not at all.
We like him.
No, yeah. We used to do some. We did some sharing with him back and forth. He seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, he said he knew you guys like well.
Yeah,
so, I love. I was on. I think my whole fucking 30 years of doing this, you know, this business of show, I have never been on the radio, terrestrial radio. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
Normal radio where you have to have commercial drops or songs every whatever, 5 minutes or whatever. I don't know how it works, but an hour, I'm not kidding, an hour and a half, you never cut to commercial, never cut to a fucking song.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on? He was just, it was a good interview, you know? It's like how me and you guys talk, and it was just great.
Well, when it's killing, I think you can push commercials back. You can. Some people have the ability. He obviously is doing very well if he can do that.
Yeah, right.
He is doing very well. People were telling me he's like a king over there. And, you know, Kansas City is awesome. I started looking at properties a little bit. L.A. is just fucking ridiculous. It's like driving me crazy. And somebody just mentioned Detroit. I can't remember who it was. They just were there, and they were telling me how it's really kind of cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
They got good food. Right?
Yeah.
I'm looking to move to another city.
Well, why don't you come here and do a few shows first?
Yeah, you should come here and do a few shows.
You should book it. Can you guys work on that and book it?
Absolutely. I'm gonna work on it, absolutely. I'm determined. I can't forget a couple things. One is we were...
Back to Ethan Hawke. So the other thing about reality bites, you know, I was supposed to play the Steve Zahn part. They offered it to me. And I'm like, I don't want to play a gay character. I was like kind of like weirded out by it. And then now I'm like whipping my dick out on guys' faces. Like, what the fuck? I was supposed to be one of the leads. He wrote it for me. I was kind of offended that he like saw me as gay. I don't. It's not that I don't want to be known as like full-on gay. I got the full-on gays. But you know what I mean? You know, because I have kids. I have girl. I have girlfriend now.
Wait,
you're more complex than that. You can't be defined by that, right?
Exactly. And I'm starting to realize I just want to be like, leave me alone, everybody. Except you guys. I love you guys.
Andy, I have to ask you about the Moby book where he claimed that John Taylor and he was going back to his dressing room, and John Taylor and Charlize Theron were outside the dressing room, and he was going in, and they said, "Oh, we can't stand it in there." And he's like, "Well, what's going on?" And he walked in, and he alleged that you were standing on a table, attempting to take a dump, or maybe taking a dump. I don't know. And I wouldn't bring it up if I thought you'd be really embarrassed by this, but I somehow thought you wouldn't. And
you know, I don't get embarrassed.
Yeah, and your friends were all chanting. What were they chanting? Poop, or something?
Poop.
I don't know. I don't remember, but it's all true. And but he left out the part about when we had a foursome, took off my dick. Did he put that in there?
No.
Wait, Moby?
You heard me.
Well, do tell. Tell a story.
He did leave that out.
That was it. I just got right to the punchline.
What happened?
Remember, I'm in the bathtub.
What happened to the other two people? In the foursome.
They were there. The other guy was somebody I was dating, and then the other girl was either my boy's girl or Moby's girl. And so it was three guys and one girl, but he was all around there.
Wow.
Moby.
Wow. Was it good?
He's going to be mad. Well, he was tentative and he was scared. He was just fascinated. He just literally touched it. Oh. That was it. You know, that's what you're supposed to do in a foursome. You can't leave anybody out. Maybe he even felt bad for me. Like, maybe they were all doing stuff. And I don't even do that shit anymore because, you know, I think I told you already, that was a foursome, but threesomes always end up with maybe I come and then, or maybe not, but it always ends up with me standing next to the bed with my arms crossed, shaking my head, going, hurry along. Come on. I want to go home. This yep. isn't fun. Somebody's always going to be left out. Yeah. It's me.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a rough refractory period, too.
Yeah.
It's just so please. I'm a one-on-one kind of guy. But do you have another question?
Yeah, I'm dying to know because I saw your post about a week ago, which was a great post, and you were talking about how you were going to be back. Was it on Twitch, Mark?
Twitch or Periscope.
Periscope, yeah. And that they cut you off, and there was some money at stake, I think, or some money owed maybe. But
yeah.
you continued on, and you posted about 15 minutes worth, and you mentioned your 27 rehabs. And I thought, wow, I'd love to find out, like, what the shortest rehab was, who was the craziest person in rehab, who was the best buddy you made in rehab. I mean, there's just so many interesting stories that come out of rehab.
I can answer them all right now.
Okay.
The longest one was 2 years. Literally 2 fucking years. I went from the rehab for 3 to 6 months, actual rehab. Then I went into sober living for the rest of the time, where you still get drug tested and alcohol tested. So I was sober for 2 years. That was just a few years ago. And you know, it was fucking sweet. I was on the beach in a house right next to the Malibu Pier. And I went swimming every fucking day. I swam out a mile and back a mile every day, rain or shine. I only missed a couple if I was out all day filming or something. But like I said, so that was one. The shortest was a day.
And what did you escape?
They brought me there drunk and tricky. One of them I skirted. I was this. Remember, people, let me tell you about my best friend. Yeah. He's warm hearted person. Let me sing the whole thing. Who loves you? And people, let me tell you about me so much.
Wait, are we talking about Bill Bixby or Brandon
Cruz?
Brandon Cruz.
Brandon, the kid. He's now an adult. He's older than me. He owns a rehab. He thought it would be cool. They always want me to go to their rehab because guess what? They're going to be the ones to save me.
Well, plus it's kind of cool to say somebody's at your rehab, isn't it?
Well, me, because I'm such a fucking wreck. They think, we're going to do it. We're going to be the ones. And then everyone will flock to our rehab. It's very competitive. It's a multi-billion-dollar fucking business, dude. Like,
yeah.
Really big. Like, really big. So,
and fixing Andy Dick would be...
He bamboozled me. He ambushed me. I didn't know what was going on. I was fucked up. I'm now finding myself in the truck, and this is true. I'm in his truck, and on the 101, he thought he had me, because we're on the 101. And he doped me and said, you know, I'm taking you to my rehab. I'm like, I didn't even know you had one. When, what? Why? No. No, pull off, get off, exit. He wouldn't exit when we hit some slow traffic, no stopping. It was just a little, we might have still been going 30 miles an hour, I don't know. I jumped out of the fucking truck on the freeway.
Oh my God.
And there's nowhere to go because there's fences on both sides. So I had to run through lanes of traffic going by and climb this fence, run up this, you know, desert hill that was just cactus and shrubs, and I just hid behind this cactus, calling people to come pick me up on the 101 freeway. There was nowhere to walk to. But the shortest one, that was a week. I think I said that already. I laughed. And
you said a day once.
Well, I think it's in between 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, half a year. You know, all kinds.
Hey,
times.
When you jumped out of
my best friend, what?
When you jumped out of Brandon Cruz's truck, were you thinking, wait, no, this party can't end. I'm not ready for the party to end. Or were you just thinking you didn't want to go to his rehab?
No, it wasn't personal to him. If anybody's listening and they're struggling with drugs and alcohol, you don't have to go to rehab. It's nice if you're having mental problems or emotional problems or you want to get to the root of it. And then people are going to hate me for saying this, but you can also try, and I have not done this. I don't get medicated when I get, well, if they rip me out of a full on bender, you have to get medicated,
right?
You know, because you'll die. You die from the withdrawal. But what I do, you know, basically when you're trying to get sober, the only thing you have to do is stop drinking. That's it. So what I do is just taper. I drink this much now. I drink a little more tomorrow. A little less tomorrow, a little less the next day, a little less. Till I don't have the shakes, dude. I would be drinking. So the more, you know, and I'm not, I'm still no pot, no pills, nothing. I want people to hear that because they'll use it as an excuse. Like, well, I can't afford rehab. They don't have to. Just put the fucking bottle down and go to AA. You can work your shit out in AA. That's a fucking awesome program, dude. It's better than therapy. I've gone to so many thousands of AA meetings. They really can help you get to the bottom of the problem. Rehabs, which I'm going to be helping out this one in Denver because the guy really likes me and he wants me to like give shouts out to his for his rehab. It's called Jade. I should do it now. It's called Jade Recovery Center. It's in Denver, and it's awesome.
I met
the guy.
You should have told him.
I haven't been there.
You should have told them to buy a cameo, and you would have done the shout out.
Yeah. The other thing, by the way, is you didn't ask this, but it's very interesting. The type of rehab it is. So they run the gambit from, exclusive and nice and like very big celebrities are in there. Not allowed to say, but I mean like way bigger than me. Hmm. And lots of them because I frequent the damn places. So I run into all these celebrities and I make friends with them. Some of them.
Well, that must be cool when you see these giant stars and they're like, oh my God, Harrison Ford, you're in here.
But man, not him, but I was in with Robert Downey Jr. and he jumped the fence. He left. He ran out. Because you don't need it, dude. And he's sober. He's sober like fucking 25 years or something like that. Or 20. Or whatever it is. I don't know.
But yeah, he's rebounded nicely.
Yes. Pretty well.
God. Yeah. One more person says, you need to have a comeback like Robert Downey Jr. You know, I see him sometimes. Oh, I shouldn't. I'm just getting in trouble. He's doing great. He's fine. He's not allowed to. He's already. He's one of the ones that doesn't talk to me anymore, which sucks. We really bonded.
I'm wondering if there was a foursome with Robert Downey Jr.
and Moby. Maybe who's the third guy?
I just was struggling, and I called him, and I got nothing back.
Oh,
really?
You can't rely on anybody. You just put the drink down. I have an Instagram about it. Put the pill down.
Saw
put
that.
The pop down. Put the coke down. Put the needle down. Just put it down, and you can do it. But you do that. You do have to have positive, light, healthy people like you guys. Very upbeat and happy. That's why I pick up. I need a little light. Like today, I was getting a little depressed. Things are going wrong with my gallery. You know, I have this art gallery that I'm trying to open in downtown LA. Oh. And I just like, I don't have a car, so I'm like either walking there, and it's like 3 miles, or riding my daughter's bike there.
Wait, what, Andy, what's up with the car? Now, surely you could have a car. Is there a license problem?
Yeah, no, I'm allowed to drive, and I can have a car. But I gave it to my ex. She needed it. One of her cars died. And I just gave it to her because I'm like, well, I don't really need it. And I Uber if I have something big. And they pick me up. Oh, speaking of, doing a big interview. It's so funny because my favorite kinds of shows, the only thing I watch, is either reruns of Match Game. Match Game 74 all the way to 79. I think I've seen them all at this point. I don't even mind rewatching them. That was a fucking shit show, but I used to watch it as a kid. Now I'm like, oh my God, they're drunk. Yeah. And some episodes they're drunker than others, and I heard that I found out that they shot three a day, so by the third one they're just fucking shitting. And wow. They're so funny.
Yeah.
And Charles Mills and Riley and the host Gene Rayburn, they are so inappropriate.
Yeah, they were. Richard Dawson was great on there, wasn't he?
So great. So composed. I don't think he drank. I think he felt like he was in a monkey cage. Like he could see him like going like, oh God. It's you gotta just watch it. I watch it like for acting to see people's reactions. It gets very uncomfortable at times, right? But the other shows I watch all exclusively, Murder. So it's Match Game and Murder. That's all I watch the like
True Crime?
No. I don't know that one, but it sounds scripted. It has to be real, like 60 minutes.
Oh yeah.
You know.
You mean like Dateline?
Right. Dateline.
Yeah.
2020. And that's what I was gonna tell you. I can mark this off my bucket list because next week, Tuesday, no, I think Wednesday, I can't remember, it doesn't matter, but I'm doing a 2-hour special on Murder on 2020. 2 hours.
Really?
The Murder. The Murder of Phil Hartman.
Oh. Oh my God, really?
Oh man.
I finally said I'll talk about it.
Wow.
And I think it's because it's on a show that I like.
Yeah, it's a great show. Dan, did you watch the ID channel?
That's all I want. Well, no, because yeah, I do. I watch it at my other place. That's all I watch.
I watch it constantly.
Don't like the Homicide Hunter. It's a little boring. There's too many reenactments.
I agree. Yeah, I don't like the guy that tries to solve crimes either. I can't think of his name, but Diabolical's great. Sister Killers or. There's a lot of great shows in there. But Andy, what on 2020 would you like to get across? Because when it's all edited, we don't always know that what you tried to do got the point got made. What are you trying to do on 2020? Because you haven't really talked about this.
It's just time. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do anything, but I think for me, also I want the kids. Because you know what? When that happened, everybody pointed the finger at me.
Yep.
Like I still to this day probably on. I delete them. But so you might not see them, but they're like, you killed Phil Hartman. Like, I don't even want to talk about it because people start again, but I wasn't there. I hadn't even seen him for 3 months. It's so convoluted, and I just never wanted to address it, and I wanted to, you know, preserve, you know, Phil's memory for me. So this is a lot for me to have closure, and it's also, I'm kind of like through the show, reaching out to the kids. Who are now like 30, but they were like 6 or something back then.
Wow.
And I got along with them. I was very, very, Phil Hartman was my surrogate father on the set and in life. I was the only cast member that would go to his house for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We just got along, man. And I was talking to the girl at 2020 and I started crying. I'm like, wow, it really is like still just right there. You know, my whole demeanor, my whole life, my whole career, everything went to shit. And by the way, Chris Farley and Phil died very close together. Yeah. And it just fucked me up. I hadn't dealt with death yet. And it just fucked me up.
Were you good friends with Chris Farley?
Yeah. Yes. He looked up to me. We performed together. We auditioned together for things. We just, from Chicago, Second City and all that. And then, you know, he would say, should I move out to LA? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I remember one time he was telling me, he was at my house. He would let me drive his Viper. Because I was doing better than him. I was on shows. But then, of course, he fucking zoomed right to the top. And he was making like $3 million for Beverly Hills Ninja or whatever. But he said, you know, he told me, he's like, you know, I'd give it all up if I could have what you have, Andy, and have like kids and a family. And that still rings for me. And it's really, I get it. because maybe he'd be fine. Because my kids keep me alive, man. They keep me alive. I can't kill myself. I just can't do
Don't.
It. I can't do it. I won't. But, bro, trust me, sometimes it's like, what the fuck am I doing? Nobody gives shit. They're not buying what I'm selling. But Cameo came along at a real good time. I was not doing well. And Cameo saved me, man.
Are you still getting a lot of requests on Cameo?
Yes. Yes. And they just went global. So in the next few weeks, as they market it across the world, I might just have to sit at a fucking desk and do what I call the micro. You're supposed to give a 30-second shout-out. Happy birthday to me, too. Hope you have a good day. Make a wish. Blow those things out, baby. I don't do that. I get very elaborate. I put on things. I write songs for them. They can be upwards of 6 minutes long. I picture them going, God, when is he going to shut up? I just wanted him to say happy birthday and get off. You know, like sometimes I think I'm rambling.
There's a whole cast on some of his cameos.
Yours are great. Yours are the best, I think, on Cameo because you do put so much work into them.
Because I have nothing else. And it's fun for me. When it comes down to it, I just want to perform. I just want to make people laugh. I want to make people have fun. You know, I want to provoke them, make them feel weird, maybe. That's all I want to do. So this is my only outlet. And, of course, they're paying me. So I'm like, oh, shit, they're paying. Sometimes they leave me a mail. They'll leave a message. And sometimes one of them was like, man, I didn't buy, I don't remember what she didn't buy in order to buy this. A Cameo. I'm like, geez, people, this is like a big deal. I'm going to treat it like it's a big deal. And I just love it. I really do.
Andy, what about the softball movie? Drew wants to know when his call time is, what time he's supposed to be there to film.
We've been meeting every day, writing every day, right. Every day. And yes, got to keep on me. I forgot I said that. We have to write it. And then we're going to write it in the next few, we want to be done in the next few weeks. Okay.
Sweet. So,
check back in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Now, if we got you booked in Detroit,
I'll be there.
How big of a room?
I would
100%. You'll be here.
Yep, promise. Talk to them and ask them what the best scenario is for me to make the most money. Because if sometimes it's just coming in and doing a one-off Friday night, everybody has to come to that one, and they'll be packed and it'll be one. Or is it Thursday one show? Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Okay. Or is it just two shows Friday, two shows Saturday? And then just give them my cell number, man. Okay. I don't have a booking agent. I have nothing.
What would happen if, I mean, why aren't you booking a tour? What's up with that? I am. You are.
I just talked to Tom Green because I didn't want to. That's your answer, by the way. Never wanted to. Fuck that shit. Flying around all over the place or in a van or whatever the fuck, like just going, oh, ew, it sounds horrible. But now I'm completely willing to do that, and I wanted to do it because I had so much fun in New Orleans. I did one show in New Orleans, had a fucking blast. Did four shows in Kansas City, and it was like butter. It was smooth, and it was fun. I never got tired. The shows got better and better and better, and I want to. So Tom, I always notice Tom Green, he's a friend of mine. He is always on tour. I'm like, God, well, good for him, but not for me. Not interested. But he must be making money because he's just going. He went, I think, all around Europe even.
Wow.
So
we need to get him on.
I literally just called him 2 days ago and said, who's your booking agent? Can you see if he's interested in booking me? Haven't heard back yet, by the way. I just realized that.
I know we could fill the house. I just have to have the house.
Yeah,
and I'm sure.
Well, aren't there comedy clubs out there?
Yeah. Mark Ridley in Royal Oak is the best.
The Blind Pig in Ann Arbor is great. Tim Meadows was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you know, Tim Meadows and I were in our first improv group ever together in Chicago. It was not Second City. It was like the place you go to kind of learn, and then you go and audition for Second City. Really. And Mike Myers was there. He wasn't in our group. And that's where I met Chris Farley. Chris Farley, Mike Myers, me, Tim Meadows, all came up in the ranks when we were like 17 and 18.
Wow.
In Chicago. We all know each other.
I can't
I'm talking about we performed every fucking night. Every night. 2 years.
I still can't believe you weren't on Saturday Night Live. That seems insane, but you didn't want to.
I was afraid. I was so afraid that I couldn't do it. And back then, I don't think I could do it. I could do it in my sleep now, and to the point where I called them and said, now I'll do it. You're 50 years old. We don't need you. But you know what? I think Leslie...
She's 48. 50, 49?
Yeah,
she's older.
Exactly, but I guess black don't crack. So they don't know. Whatever. That's discrimination right fucking there. That's discrimination. Like,
it's
whatever.
Privilege.
I could fucking murder it. I could murder that show. I would kill on that.
I had no idea she was 51.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is she 51?
She was a writer for a long time, yeah.
Not only that, I think Andy's 20 times as funny. I don't mean to be mean to her, but come on, really?
Consistently.
She's very funny, but I think she's just not seasoned, man. Like, I've been doing it for so long. I'm ready now. She just got put there. But she was a stand-up, I think. She wasn't, like... sketches. It's a whole different ballgame. But she's still fucking funny. I like her. I follow her. And I love her.
Do you know Pete Davidson?
I think I met him once. And I think I met... Was he... Because the celebrities... I'm not a celebrity hound, kind of like star fucker type. I just shy away from them. I don't know why. But like when I went to do Zoolander and I was there for a month... No, I had one day of filming. Ben was just being very generous. Remember, the Ben Stiller show was my first show I ever did. Remember? And I won an Emmy. I mean, for writing, everybody won an Emmy. Except I didn't get mine, remember, because I wasn't an official writer. You know the whole story. Don't they have a lot of energy, by the way?
Yes, yes.
And this is me not getting sleep last night because I woke up in the middle of the night throwing up.
Are you feeling better?
I felt better in the morning. It was weird. My body is resilient. I bounced back. I'm like, great. But I was a little achy in the morning, which was weird. But that's why I'm taking this detox back with Epsom salt. And by the way, it's drained. Oh. And I'm looking at, it looks like the swamps of New Orleans. Well, I should take a picture and send it. Should I put it on Instagram?
Yes.
Why not?
Sure.
It's gross. It's absolutely gross.
People like gross
like
things.
Brown splats. Yeah, they would. No, I'm not going to do it. Because you know why? I'm going to leave that one up there that's on right now because I look so fucking hot.
Oh, the Malibu one?
I think so. I just love it. I can't believe that's what I looked like when I was on the beach swimming every day. I didn't even remember I looked like that. I'm like, are you kidding?
It's a great
swimming
pose.
In the ocean every day like that, that's what you turn into.
Wait, when did you take that picture?
When I was in Malibu living on the beach, living in that house in the rehab.
Okay, so that's a throwback picture. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy, can you surf?
I know. Don't tell anybody. No. I can't really stand up on the board. I just body surf or boogie board. I call it boogie board.
What's that post, Brandon?
But I just swam. What?
Oh, Andy's on the. Were you in red? He's on a red carpet.
He's trying to step on the woman in front of the dress.
Yeah. Then I was supposed to go see her. I was supposed to go see her perform that night, and I didn't. I feel bad. She's all mad.
Hey, I'm reading the comments. I'm reading the comments on this post, by the way, which a lot of them are like, hey, pretty hot, looking fabulous. I mean, people do love that sexy picture of you. But one of the people that commented was Steven Belafonte, who...
What?
Yeah, had that big dust-up with Spice Girl. I can't think of her name.
Scary Spice.
Scary Spice, yeah. But he says, what his comment was, he made it about himself, is, always remember that I beat you a cupcake wars. Do you know what the hell he's talking about?
Yeah, I was on Celebrity Cupcake Wars with my daughter. Wait a minute, is he? He's married to Scary Spice.
No,
they went through a very nasty divorce.
They've had
quite
an ugly divorce. So a lot of three ways seem to come up
with
a divorce.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah,
because he's my friend. I knew him years ago, and it was a weird thing when I saw him on Cupcake Wars. I'm like, oh my god, why are you here? He's like, because I'm with Scary Spice. I'm like, oh my. Really? It was a trip because I knew him from party days where we were just doing blow like out the wazoo. He lived down the street. We just hung out all the time. Well, I didn't know they got divorced.
Oh yeah, and it was awesome.
And they did win, and it was political because I know the producers. They produced my show, The Assistant, and
great show.
And the Spice Girls were about to go on tour, so they won. It was like somebody got paid off. I'm not fucking kidding.
That's horseshit.
We should do a we should do a sequel to Quiz Show. Fuck. I was like, fuck it. I didn't give a shit, but it sucks.
Mel B also revealed that she got it on with Jerry Horner, the other Spice Girl.
Yeah.
That they had a little fling.
Ginger Spice.
Yeah, Ginger Spice wasn't too happy about that revelation. But she didn't deny it. Yeah.
Wait, so my friend got with two Spice Girls?
Well, he got with a lot of chicks with Mel B because it sounds like she likes women and she liked him. And so that there were many, many three-ways discussed in the course of this divorce.
And he never said that it ended with him standing next to the bed with his arms crossed, which is really weird.
Well, I don't know. He left that part out. Okay, I am like starting to get cold because I'm wet. Aww. But I'm wet with mud.
Gross.
Okay. All right, we're gonna try and get you. We're gonna try and get you booked, and we will get back to you soon.
No, you will get me booked. Trust me. They all around the country, they want me.
Okay.
I just don't feel like fucking calling. What am I supposed to call everybody? And also, I don't know what's the best one. Like, I would just start calling. And also, we don't have to do it at a comedy club. If there's a theater where I could do a one nighter, that's preferable. You have to tell them what I call it is a departure from comedy. I incorporated the audience in this one thing. And I do music and tell stories. So there's no jokes, and I'm not a comedian. Most people know that, but I don't tell jokes. So it's not like Louis C.K., and it's not like anybody. Nobody does what I do.
A lot of people do that now, you know, like sort of a whole...
Yeah.
Yeah. T.J. Miller's, that is not a set-it-up-and-knock-it-down kind of show.
The Clintons, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They just did a conversational thing.
You'll be much funnier.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin is performing
now. Yeah, jeez.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot
What?
I don't know what he does.
It's called A Conversation with Alec Baldwin, which I have a feeling it's more one way.
Storytelling.
Oh, God, wait, he took it out there?
Oh, yeah, he's scheduled to perform here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's selling very well.
No.
Really? That's so weird. And I just think he's awesome. I like that guy. It's so weird because you just tied it all together. Perfect way to end this whole thing. He's the new fucking host on Match Game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's his best game.
That tripped me out because I'm like, why would he do that?
He should be doing Match Game live.
I should be the fucking host. He was in Glengarry Glen Ross, you know, in all these great movies. And, you know, Beetlejuice when he was young, remember?
Such a great movie.
People forget. Yeah. And he's just like, it's just weird. But I think he's a lot like me. He just wants to get up on stage. He just wants to perform. And by the way, they don't even ask me to be it. Well, I guess I don't really have it. I had just got this agent, and I just, nothing. I got to check in. I forgot his name. I'm not kidding. I can't find him in my phone.
I'm sure there's an invoice. Look at an invoice from him.
No, I just got him. I've not worked with him yet, you know.
Yeah, he should be sending a bill eventually.
You don't pay an agent. They get commission.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So
he's got to work.
He's got a book,
if I don't have a job, he doesn't get money. Yeah.
We'll book around him so he doesn't take anything.
We'll get you 100%.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, he ain't getting it. No one's getting it. It's coming right to me. Maybe I'll get you a finder's fee. I'll buy you a drink. But cool. Seriously.
Or just come do the podcast live with us. That'll be the finder's fee.
I'll do that. Perfect.
All right.
We'll do it right the day. We'll do it that week.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Get people filled in there. Perfect, man.
We'll kill
it. So call them and ask them. You can literally give them my cell number.
You got it.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Andy.
You're the best. And please pump my cameos. That's my only bread and butter.
You got it.
I love you guys.
Love you, Andy.
Bye, Andy.
Always.
See you, Andy.
Bye.
Bye.
Cameo, 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 cameo.
He sounds great, man.
I know he does.
Hey, it's a new facet of the Red Shovel Network. Drew and Mike present Andy Dick.
I'm so excited.
I really like him.
I'm really excited about the Phil Hartman thing because me, Andy Dick's always been a big part of that because he does get the blame for getting Brynn back on drugs.
How much news can he break on our show? Moby? Yeah.
Moby.
Robert Downey Jr. didn't give him a call back. Four-way with Moby, who was all over him.
Quote, out of curiosity.
I'm really trying to picture that. I just can't.
So is that why you didn't watch him take a dump on the cake? Because once again, who wouldn't want to watch that?
I love how Andy just acknowledges it happened, doesn't remember it, says it did, though.
Yeah.
But I know it did.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I love him.
Well, I should tweet this out immediately.
It's great.
Oh, my God. Major breaking news. That 2020, Brandon, you're right. That is going to be a monster 2020.
When did he say that was going to be on then?
He said a few weeks.
A few weeks? How can they turn it around that
fast? They keep doing it on them on Thursdays.
I wonder who interviewed Tuesday. Him.
That's a great question.
Morrison?
Well, wrong network. But, you know, 2020's been doing all those two-hour, like, kind of their 30 for 30s where they do it on... No, they did one on the Menendez and OJ.
So who's the woman on Good Morning America?
I don't know.
She's married to the guy from Melrose Place.
Oh, Amy Robach.
Yeah, I bet it's her.
It could be. But good for him for talking because he needs to defend himself with that. She was an adult. Brynn was an adult.
Well, to blame him for the murder
is ludicrous.
Is ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
And John Lovitz is a big badass about it, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't understand why would he want to even.
I don't know.
I mean, people just are crazy.
People want to blame other people.
Now, I can't recall this or not, but when Brynn left the house, did she go see Andy and then come back? Or had she seen Andy earlier in the week and they feel like that's what got her off the bandwagon? Can you recall?
I thought it was like that day.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was.
Oh, that she partied with Andy
with
Dick.
Andy Dick.
He said he hadn't seen Phil in 3 months, so yeah. I don't know. I'm confused.
Well,
I'm
she
sure
went and partied without Phil, so.
Yeah, they'll clear it all up.
Well, you know, I've got the book around here somewhere. I don't think it was the same day. I thought it was pretty close. He got her back. You know, back in the, but, you know. She didn't do anything she didn't want to do. She was an adult. She was in her 40s.
I think Andy was very easy to blame by a lot of people.
Well, yeah, sure he is. A lot of people like to blame him for a lot of things. No, it's not right.
Bullshit.
She murdered her husband.
With the kids. The kids in the house.
The kids in the house. sorry. Too soon. And she was, I don't want to act like I know what was going on, but honestly, from reading a lot about this, it sounded like she was jealous of his career.
Yeah.
She wanted a career. And Phil, and the book got deeply into this, Phil tried so hard to get her jobs. And she wrote scripts, and he tried to push them. Yeah. And it was, I don't know, it really sounded, I felt so bad for him.
You're right, Drew. The whole blame really comes from Lovitz, and he said that he claims Andy Dick reintroduced Brynn to cocaine, causing her to relapse.
I'm glad he wasn't on the
show.
So
it wasn't the day of.
Yeah.
With us.
I know.
That's all I can think of.
Lovitz,
me.
I can tell you, the more you read and hear things about Lovitz, nobody seems to be a big fan of his, people that worked with him, which is kind of interesting.
I know. I was surprised. I didn't really know that until recently, and I was surprised by that because I just always think he's funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that angle. But and then that whole thing with Norm playing tennis and what a dick he was.
that was one of the best stories where he shows up and he's got Norm. Wait, doesn't Lovitz is all geared out and Norm shows up in like a sweater and jeans and beats him. Wow. And he loves telling the story and Lovitz hates the fact that he tells the story.
He tells a great story.
And he wouldn't come on before his appearance at Margaret Lee's.
That's what I said. I'm so glad he did.
Too busy tweeting.
I am busy tweeting about anything.
Well, I play tennis with John Lovitz. Goes every day to the Beverly Wiltern Hotel. Well, it's an expensive Beverly Hills hotel. I don't know what it's called. But anyways, the guy there, the coach is Alex Almeida, who's a Peruvian tennis player from Holden. He very good. He played. You know, he beat Ron Laver 3 times.
Right.
And so he's 60 or whatever, but, you know, a Peruvian 60.
You know? Does that mean he's a young 60 or
yeah,
60?
You know, a handsome,
young 60?
Yes, sexy.
Peruvian 60, I like that.
Yeah, Peruvian 60. So you could still imagine him with a lady. Right. You know what I mean? Like my father when he was 60, it would be hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But a Peruvian, you know. All right. You can imagine. You can easily imagine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because my father, he doesn't know. You know, he'd get you a Casio watch to a lady. That would be his thing. But these guys, they're more champagne on your spine, my darling. You know, it's a whole different thing. Anyway, so he, it has nothing to do with his way with the ladies, the story. But Johnny, John Lovitz got lessons from him every single day at this hotel.
Yeah. You know?
So then he told me that he was really good at tennis. So I was like, I could beat you.
You just assume you can beat John Lovitz in anything, right?
Yeah. Because I played tennis 4 times.
Yeah.
I figured that's about what it would take to beat John Lovitz. So I said, yeah, I'll play, you know. And he goes, you'll never beat me. I play every, what are you talking about? I go, no, I'll play anything you want. So I go to the place. I'm in my jeans and a leather jacket. I don't have clothes for tennis. I've only played 4 times. So I get there and they give me a club and everything and a tennis racket. And I know, clearly, I'm going to beat John Lovitz. So we start playing, and, you know, I just keep tinking them over a little bit, you know, a little backspin, you know, near the net, whatever that shot's called. So Lovitz lumbers over, you know, and he can never get to it. You know?
Lumbers.
And so I just beat him like 6-0 in the first set. So he starts thinking I'm doing something illegal by tinking it over the net.
The backspin backhand or whatever? Yeah, yeah.
He's never seen this. He thinks you're supposed to hit it to him.
Oh.
So he starts complaining because he's like, I play Alex and I can beat him. He's talking about beating Alex Omeda, the pro, the tennis
60-year-old Peruvian. Yeah. Yeah.
He thinks, so I said, well, why? He goes, I beat him. I play him every day, you know. And I go, well, Lovitz, this, you know, a tennis pro is what their, one of their big skills is they hit the ball so it will land on your racket.
Right.
You know, so wherever you're standing, the ball is right there, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not true, you know. Then he was convinced that I could beat Alex Olmeda. He said, you've never seen anything like this, Alex. He tinks it over the net. This is Lovitz. So then I played, and then he wanted to really win, you know, and he kept playing me, and I said, oh, God. So one day I was like, he was just getting so angry and everything, so I let him win one game.
Yeah.
And then he quit. He retired.
On top.
Yeah, calling himself the champ.
Like John Elway.
Yeah, exactly. He won one game. He goes, doesn't matter. So whoever won last, that's what they do in boxing. And I was saying, well, boxing, I do have to defend them, but whatever.
That's so great. That's from the now defunct BS report, Bill Simmons.
It seems like it all came ahead in 2006 when John Lovitz and Andy Dick ran into each other at a restaurant. And apparently Andy told him, I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die. And I think Lovitz really lost it. Because following that, like they got into a little scuffle at the restaurant. And following that, that's when John Lovitz really became vocal about, you know, his feeling that he caused Bryn to relapse and suffer a nervous breakdown.
Got into a scuffle, and so he gets back at him by telling a story about how he's responsible for him. What a dick. Wow.
You know, such a crazy story.
What I find interesting about Lovitz is, you know, he hadn't sold out those shows here. I don't want to keep going back to the fact that he skipped us. But
he did.
He did. And...
That has nothing to do with this.
It would have been great. And we'd have him on tomorrow if he wanted to come on.
Sure,
likely.
Ask about that tennis match.
Yeah, that was funny. But it's so strange now. Yesterday I was looking at the top 1,000 people with Instagram followings. Mostly I just want to see, okay, how many cute young females are on here? And it's of course, ridiculous. There are... things like, Lamborghini on Instagram and Obama and, you know, politicians and, you know, people that, of course, have big followings wherever they go. But then there's all these people. Who's that chick? Who's that chick? Who's that chick? And you go on there. It's like, oh, there she is in a bikini. There she is in, a thong. Oh, there's her ass. Oh, there she is in something skanky. There she is in a bathtub. You know, it's just so silly. But anyway, when I think about it, I just, with all these YouTubers, and Cameo is a great example. You see all these people. Who are these people? There's so many little niches of followings now in the entertainment world that people like John Lovitz could suddenly be like, what's John Lovitz doing?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it strange how people just, whoosh, they just fall out of the entertainment world and, well, he hasn't done anything in a long time. What's he doing? And it's like, well, there, first of all, there aren't that many roles to play, because if you're not an action movie or something tentpole related, which usually is action, then there's probably not a lot of movies for you. Like this movie Andy's going to be making. First of all, he's writing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get it financed. And they just aren't green lighting movies. Many movies like that. There are some.
Yeah.
But God, I go on Netflix and I went on Apple TV last night. And I'm like, oh my God, is there anything to watch? There's the Apollo 11 thing, which is all this new footage.
Yeah.
They got out of NASA. And it's what? Color.
Really?
Oh, Trudy, it's incredible. I thought about you, and I thought your dad about your dad in the O-ring. That harsh regrets. But
it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It just looked really cool, and people are raving about it too, and it had some really high rating.
Huh.
And all I could really find to watch, and there's a few movies on there, and there's a lot of old movies that I really like, and I keep going back to them, like Adventureland. I do that too.
Yeah. All the time.
You know what else I just rewatched was the Scarlett Johansson movie, which I was told ahead of time, it's ridiculous, and I watched it, and I was
Lucy?
Lucy.
Oh, really?
that movie's a lot of fun, especially the guy that has you've to snort the thing, and he's laughing his ass off, and they shoot him in the head.
Yeah,
he's laughing
so hard. You've seen it before, though.
Yeah, I have, but I rewatched it.
Yeah, no, it's
ludicrous. Like, oh, Lucy. Yeah, I've got an hour and a half to kill. I'll watch Lucy again. and it is a crazy movie, but ScarJo's hot, and of course she turns into this super-duper badass with, you know, using 100% of her brain, and I don't know, I thought it was entertaining. I didn't mind watching it, and there was nothing but shit besides that. Anyway, last night, I ended up watching this documentary on the Descendants, the punk band, and we talked about it before the show.
Yeah.
I remember them and how, first of all, there's a lot of really big people in music who are like, oh my God, the Descendants, they're the greatest. Like Dave Grohl just loves the Descendants. He loves a lot of punk bands. They're like NoFX. They're this band that did some great punk music and truly lived the punk lifestyle, the ethos, the... I mean, they lived on $5 a day. They're like in their 30s and they have no money. And they, you know, they live in their practice space and they tour constantly. But they're a different kind of punk band. They're not like screaming angry people. They do like love songs and sing about real life. And yeah, they're really different. Milo Goes to College was their high watermark, I think.
Oh.
That's a very... beloved album. I think that might, I want to say it might be in the Rolling Stone top 500 even. It's just become gigantic over time. And now they went by All for a while when their lineup changed, and All was tough. You know, it's always tough to rebrand. But anyway, the documentary is fantastic, and they're all super likable guys. And I find that about punk bands. It seems like you go, these guys are great. I love these guys.
Looking at this album from Milo Goes to College, the longest runtime of any song. Is 2:14.
Oh, God, I would love that.
They are really short. But they're influenced by the Beatles and the Beach Boys. They have vocalists who can really sing.
Yeah.
And their lineup changed a lot. But and Milo, the lead singer, who became very good, a good singer, Milo was a scientist. And after, you know, banging his head in the punk world for 8 years, they started kind of making, he's like, this isn't fun anymore. I've always wanted to be a scientist anyway. They knew that Milo was going to go to college and, you know, become a scientist. And so he left the band, and then he ends up coming back years later. He's like, okay, I got a little science out of my system. I want to tour a little bit. And they're just the most likable. They remind me of NoFX. In fact, Fat Mike from NoFX is in the documentary. He loves the Descendants.
It's funny, too, watching Milo perform, because he looks like a scientist when he's doing punk
music. Looks
like
the album cover.
It's crazy. Yeah, he's got glasses, Milo, a button-up shirt.
The logo, that little cartoon character, is based on Milo.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that is a real... If you like rock documentaries, you don't know who the Descendants are, but you like rock docs, it's a great one to watch. Kind of
you
like
know the cartoon?
The Cadillac Tramps one was so good.
Oh, the Cadillac Tramps.
NoFX's documentaries are hilarious. God, Fat Mike is such a funny fuck. And they're such likable guys. I don't know what it is about punk bands, but I find myself... I think it's because they struggle so long... They can't really grow egos.
Yeah.
By the time success hits, like NoFX and now the Descendants are huge. They play giant festivals. They make money now. They've so earned it, and it came so late after such a fight. I think they have a hard time being stars. It's not easy. They never really changed.
They're too mature now?
Kind of, yeah. I think they're too old to get
not
egos.
Not in an age way, but in a well-adjusted way?
Yeah, they've been so thoroughly humbled for so long that it's hard to make that happen. But it's really a fun doc to watch.
That's cool. Hey, Cream has a coffee table book I wanted to point out before.
Oh, Cream.
Too much more. Yeah.
Cream magazine or the band?
No, Cream the band are in a coffee table book coming out this summer with all these beautiful, rare archival images. They don't have any of them in this story here, but Ginger, Eric Clapton, and Jack Bruce back in 1966, and they got all kinds of snapshots from the reunion at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And
they're such a seminal band.
Yeah.
It's only three guys. I mean, I might like Blind Faith's one record better than any of the three Cream records, because Blind Faith is Ginger and Eric with Steve Winwood. And I love Steve Winwood's voice. And I do like Cream. Now, Cream's fantastic. I mean,
it's
love both of them. I love everything Eric did from 66 to 71.
Everything
Eric and the Dominoes, the double album with Dwayne Allman and Jim Gordon. And all. Oh, my God, the people he played with during that period. And the Yardbirds before that.
Yeah. And the other great thing that happened today, that in my world anyway, was Joe Walsh on Instagram with Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
What?
And they're standing outside of a recording studio in London, and they've just put some music together, but they won't say anything more about it. But look at the two of them. They're so – it's really adorable.
Wow.
They're so cute.
I know. Joe Walsh, if you don't like Joe Walsh, I think something's wrong with you.
I know.
He's so likable.
He's so happy. And it's funny that I went down the rabbit hole of Joe Walsh and went on his Twitter. And he's just so many people sitting next or standing next to him and taking pictures with him. So happy.
I'm no really Joe Walsh in the brains department.
I was kind of taken aback by all the reading I did about Stevie Nicks and her book. Is it her book or is it just a book about her? I can't even remember. But I love Stevie. And to find out that Joe Walsh was this giant paramour of hers, I mean, they were a hot couple for a while.
Really?
Joe Walsh and Stevie Nicks, and I thought, wow, that's a great couple. But they were both so fucked up at the time.
Just someone else got in her orbit.
Yeah, somebody else. Yeah, he left the orbit. Big mistake.
And it's Mick Jones' birthday today.
Mick Jones from The Clash!
He's 64.
And Big Audio Dynamite, one of the great underrated 80s acts.
Yep, yeah.
Hey,
Happy
Big Audio
birthday to him! I don't care!
Big Audio Dynamite, another band you'll never hear on radio in Detroit.
Well, if you do, it's this one.
I would do it all the same.
First Wave always plays Equals M Squared, which I also like a lot. But this is a great song.
89X used to play this all the time. I don't know if they still do.
I think they might have played Equals M Squared, too.
I started my day playing Train in Vain.
Oh, great
to
song.
Celebrate him. That was good.
I swear that.
It felt good.
I don't know how anyone can't play 10 Clash tracks. They really don't. There's at least 10 great Clash tracks. But we know how that goes. People can stop sending me screenshots of Billy Squier songs on LLZ or anywhere else. Why is Billy Squier? Why?
He rocks.
David Bowie apparently peters out, and Billy Squier just rocks on.
Oh, dear.
I would think Rock the Casbah would still be played. And should I stay or should I go?
Sure.
They are. Those ones are.
London Calling? Does anybody play London Calling?
I
Fought
that.
The Law, Clampdown, Lost in the Supermarket. Probably not.
No.
Yeah! I hate to reference what's on TV, but I just saw Trump talking to Chuck Todd. It looked like the Battle of the Bad Haircuts.
You know, what is up with Chuck Todd's hair?
It was weird. His hair's really short now.
Like he cuts it himself.
Probably with a
flow. It just goes straight down.
Flo-by.
Yeah.
I don't think he has time for haircuts.
No, he's too intense.
But, you know, one of the stories of the day, and I meant to hit it earlier when we were talking about Trump and the rape allegation, was Wait, I got to get her name right. Brandon sent in the prep, too. It's, oh, there were two cool stories.
While you're doing it,
Megan Rapinoe, the U.S. soccer chick. Yeah. Rapinoe, Megan Rapinoe. Oh, how dare I not know her name? I don't even know who the hell she is.
Oh, it's not Rapinoe?
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
I wouldn't know. I don't know the players that well. Huh. But she just revealed that she won't go to the fucking White House.
Now, she said that multiple times.
I know. She has to be mad, though, because in every news coverage of that particular thing, they have her together with Trump side by side, like palsies. And I know that probably infuriates her.
Turns
her hair pink.
I have two issues with her. And I really, you know, I'm sure she's a great player and all that. And the U.S. women's soccer team, I understand they're outstanding. But I feel like they're really sort of they're putting a damper on their run in a few ways. One, the suit with the men over sexual discrimination or pay discrimination. Set that aside. The lawyers are going to handle it. The public doesn't need to participate in that, although we have. Plenty, more than a little. No filter got into it also. So I hate that that's a big part of that story. And maybe that's the media is playing it up a little bit. But then we won't go to the fucking White House. Okay, so here's a player on the team that is going to wig out all the Trump people, you know, and go, fuck the U.S. soccer team. And
it's just funny because now people are paying attention to him because she has said it multiple times.
I know, but it's the Olympics. She said it. And she's in the Olympic team. And I'm not saying that.
No.
Not the Olympics. World Cup. It's the World Cup. It's the U.S. team. That's what I meant. It's the U.S. team. They're very good. And do you want to really. Could you at least say, we won't go to the White House, not the fucking White House?
am I allowed to say you quote what Brandon's prep said about that, introducing the story? That he hopes they don't win so that she can't.
Just because
she can't go
to
the fucking White House.
Why
she can't be invited and decline.
Trump's tweet was all over the map. But the one thing Trump's tweet was right about is you don't talk about going to the White House before you win it. Win it. Why are you talking? I mean, that assumes you're going to win it. If I were on one of the other teams, I'd go, hey, this chick thinks they've already won.
But in
tweet. They have won the previous two.
In his tweet, though, he also said, now, win or lose, he's going to invite the entire team.
Look, the best part about his tweets.
Oh, what a nice guy.
The best part about his tweets was that he tweeted at the wrong Megan Rapinoe first. That was the best part about it.
And so what has happened to that Megan Rapinoe? She's probably getting death threats.
I don't know, maybe. She did reply to the original tweets. I forgot what
half the world's giving her death threats. Half the world is.
Yeah, probably.
But that's just it. It's the World Cup team. Do you really want. Yeah.
The other thing is, basketball isn't going to come to the fucking White House either because.
They won't invite them.
Because, well, they're wrapped. They're Canadian. They're not going to go to.
Oh, they said it's a hard no. That's all I heard.
But they're not going to be invited. Why would they?
I don't know.
They wouldn't come.
Were they invited? Did he invite them?
Yeah, no,
they won for Canada. They're going to go to the White House is there.
I would assume that Trump would never invite an NBA team because there's not an NBA team that would go to the White House anyway.
Well, no, he wouldn't. But still, it's Canada. They're going to go to Justin Trudeau's house.
Yeah, the Maple Log Cabin.
That the news is on, too. Correction, by the way. Bill Barr did not play the saxophone. He played the bagpipe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know. Are bagpipes cool?
That actually sounds like him playing himself. It looks like
there
a bagpipe.
There he is. It's him rocking out.
Oh,
he's having trouble. There he goes.
Okay, that's great. Good going, Bill.
Elton John playing the bagpipes.
The other thing I wanted to mention. God, there's so many things. We could go on for 3 hours. David Hogg says he's had 7 assassination attempts.
Is that including the...
He's like 50.
Is that including the one by Nicholas Cruz?
No. No, this is... And the quotes were just classic. Classic Hogg. Let me get Brandon's prep.
How does he know?
I guess he works with Secret Service or something. I think he's...
No, I mean,
he's considered president.
It's a legitimate question. How does he know?
Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
No idea. But... It doesn't matter if he knows. It makes a good story, right?
Are you looking for it on your phone? Can you not find it?
When your old-ass parent's like, I don't know how to send an iMessage, and you're just like, give me the fucking phone, and you take him, you're like, okay, let me handle it, and you get it done in 1 second.
Oh, he's such a dick.
Hog.
He's such a dick.
Hog.
I misspelled Brandon. That's the problem.
Oh, you misspelled it?
What type of shitty person does that?
He's going to hog you to death.
I didn't mention the podcast. The Drew and Mike store has t-shirts and stuff now. Damn it. Brandon, you're... Why is your
you don't know how to use that? Come on.
Our parents don't know how to use a fucking democracy, so we have to.
Such a dick.
I'm fucking 17.
Oh, I missed 73-year-old Slay's Cobra on her patio, still looking for a number. No more e-cigs for San Francisco?
Yeah, they banned them. How stupid.
Oh, I missed a lot of your prep. Michael Avenatti versus Meghan McCain? What's that all about?
Yeah, they're having a little war.
He ragged her for just capitalizing on her dad's name. Because what else has she ever done? And then she just wrote back about him stealing the settlement from what the is, paraplegic.
Well, Michael Avenatti ragging anyone right now just
not a
like,
good idea. Yeah.
Did Meghan McCain say something about him?
Yeah.
Oh, she always has to clap
back.
What I said.
She pointed out that he stole the award, the settlement, or whatever it was for the paraplegic.
No, there's more than one case of that. I mean, no, he's in so much trouble. He literally could go to prison for the rest of his life.
He should go to prison. He probably won't. Yeah.
Because of white-collar crime.
Well, I think more because he's a lawyer.
Well, yeah, and he's obviously a very good lawyer. He's very resourceful, and I don't know what will happen because there are a lot of charges. But yeah, David Hogg, let's see, vocal supporter of gun legislation, detailed his experiences throughout the last 18 months as he went from regular high school student to one of the faces of the school safety movement. In an interview with the Washington Post, that's where he said it. Mm-hmm. He was not asked for further details about the threats. So why wouldn't they ask? I would ask him.
No more.
Yeah, I don't.
Hogg said that killing him would be the stupidest thing they could try to do to end the movement. Because that would make it even more successful in the end because it would invigorate us and create fucking change.
They're pathetic fuckers that want to keep killing our children.
Brother.
Right.
Honestly, I realize that it's horrible that I have to live through this, and it's traumatizing, he said, referencing the death threats. But you eventually become desensitized to it.
Come here, sweetie. Okay. Sure. Whatever, Hogg.
Hogg uses his white privilege to get into Harvard!
He wants to go to school and, for lack of a better word, weaponize my knowledge and learn as much as possible.
Weaponize his knowledge.
They're pathetic fuckers. Give me the fucking phone. Our parents don't know how to use a fucking democracy. What sick fuckers are out there? You want to see more fucking money? What type of shitty person does that? We're not going to let that fucking happen. Fuck you. I don't give a shit what people say about me. Fuck no. I'm fucking 17.
He's so cool.
Potty mouth.
Oh my God, is he cool?
Hey, you know the big true crime story, the missing Utah girl?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on? So she came back from a flight from LA to Utah where she lives, gets in a Lyft. He drives her to a park.
I thought that was really strange because it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, what is she doing meeting someone at a park at 3 a.m?
Well, the Lyft driver's been cleared.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't know if she's meeting a guy or a girl.
Well, now it's been revealed that she's a sugar baby. She was on sugar daddy sites.
Oh.
Here's that story with some...
A girl from Utah?
I just thought it was something with
some nice posts by her. She's a very, very attractive...
A nice Mormon girl?
Blonde lady,
I thought that Lyft driver might have been in trouble.
I thought so. No, he was cleared. He was cleared very, very fast. He probably picked up another ride, you know.
Speaking of good-looking girls getting everything, it seems that the sugar baby business is really growing.
Really?
Good. What's wrong with that? I wouldn't want my daughters doing it.
It's scummy.
It's a job.
It's scummy on both ends. I don't know. It's sad.
They're giving something.
Yeah.
She considered herself a sugar baby, boasted about having at least two unidentified sugar daddies, which she found through online sites Seeking Arrangement and Tinder. They obtained screenshots of her posts made nearly 3 months ago in a private Facebook group where she gave advice to how she finds sugar daddies, wealthy older men who lavish younger women with gifts and money in return for company or sexual favors. Try Tinder and be blunt about it. I want an SDSB relationship with a real connection. What's an SDSB?
Sugar daddy, sugar baby.
Oh, okay. If they don't know what an SDSB is, tell them bluntly, sugar daddy and sugar baby. But if they don't know, they aren't really worth your time. Set your age preference is 35 plus. You'll have the most luck there.
Duh.
It's only a matter of time.
Why would you want to hang out with somebody that you're paying to fuck you? I don't...
Ease.
I get it.
I knew some girls that worked at an establishment, and they had...
So who are you hanging around with, Brandon?
Well, like a Hooters. It's kind of like a Hooters. And these girls, obviously, they had regular clients, and they got to know them very, very well. to the point where these regular clients would take 2, 3, 4 of the girls at a time down to Florida or Vegas for a week.
Oh yeah, they need.
So basically, they'd get a free. They would get a free, you know, trip. Vacation.
Did
a free
they put
trip.
Out?
I think like one of them would put out for.
Did they draw straws for who had to put out?
Yeah, they all did. Let's not fool ourselves.
I think we kind of knew which one was putting out.
Nice.
But, and then, you know, they'd probably
if you don't
get
put
shopping,
out,
they get clothes, so.
I don't think the trip's too much fun if they don't put out for them or for the guys.
Well, more for the guys.
So, yeah.
I'm sure she was very enthusiastic.
For sure.
I guess she'd have to have her put out right away.
This will get solved, though, because they're eventually going to find who she was in contact with these websites, and they're going to vet every single one of them.
Sure.
I know. I honestly don't understand why there are so many unsolved murders now. If you use the resources available, you can find anything.
Yeah.
There's always some video or some.
Everybody's on video.
True
everywhere.
Crime shows. You know, I was watching this one the other day where this person was murdered, and the person they suspected who made the most sense. It's like, oh, his phone is pinging. Right outside this guy's house for multiple days before he died. Mm. And then his phone's turned off for about 9 hours. What's crazy? Yeah, but he never turns his phone off. He just happened to turn it off on the day the guy was murdered. To me, that's guilty!
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, and I think
he's no longer with us.
I think they did.
He died.
I think they did prove him guilty, if I remember correctly. But, these juries expect so much. That's part of the problem is they feel like if we don't have the murder weapon, if we don't have some video, if we don't have something, you know,
hair fibers.
It's like they just want everything DNA. Now. So it seems like they're asked for to reach a higher standard of evidence.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That phone thing is absolutely 100% the way to triangulate on it.
You want to
answer, man.
Did we open the Hall Financial Hotline today?
We did.
We did?
Yeah.
Did I mention that you can reach him at 248-308-5000?
I believe you did.
I did? Okay. Yeah, you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com, or you can go to our website, click the link, fill out the online form, and they'll contact you immediately about how to save you money on a refi, or if you want to mortgage your first home, dream home, take money out of your home, lower the length of your mortgage. We're kicking ass with Hall Financial. They're kicking even more ass. So, was there anything else we mentioned? The Drew and Mike store. That's important.
The Amazon portal.
Yeah, my sister was griping about the Amazon portal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What now?
She's been feisty lately.
She's basically our quality
Come
control.
Come on, Patty!
Isn't she our quality control?
She does make some great points.
I'm really glad she does.
She was wondering about the shipping costs. She wanted some stickers, and she was pointing out...
Oh, by the way, on our Facebook Live, I noticed, I think it was Scott Gracious,
mm-hmm.
was saying that he received his order already, so he applauds the shipping department.
There's some speedy work going on.
Yes.
Patty says, when I click on your Amazon portal on your site, nothing happened.
Patty!
Anyone else having a problem?
Sounds like operator error.
Which one?
Because I click on it all the time and it works.
When she clicks on the Amazon portal, nothing happens.
Okay, what is she using?
Yeah, I'll find out.
It's working for me right now. Sometimes if you have an ad blocker of some sort.
Exactly, a pop-up.
That's what I was looking for.
It's not a pop-up, but you're right. Or if you use a private browser, I don't think it'll work.
Okay. I think she's used it before, though.
Whose page is that?
It's yours. I just clicked on it. It says, hi, Trudy.
Hey, what's click on her orders. Let's see what she's ordering.
Oh, no.
It seems that she loves faucets.
Oh, you got
I do.
That's the deal of the day.
I do. I love faucets. She loves carrots.
Okay.
What? How carrots get on there?
Trudy loves shoes.
I've maybe looked at a few shoes.
Shoes. Books, too. A lot of books.
Are there any
you have that
embarrassing things?
butt plug.
No butt plugs.
No.
No.
Honestly, if you go up a little bit, that one
I watched that Jack Ryan.
Yeah, that's a cool watch.
Mm-hmm.
Were you looking at that watch?
Yeah.
There's a butt plug. Go back now. Go down a little. There, right there.
Oh, that is a butt plug.
No, that is
that
not.
It looks like a butt plug.
It's a butt plug.
It's either a butt plug or a pacifier.
Click on it, Brandon, and order it for her.
Hey, it's both. It's two in one.
Oh, it's a baby.
Butt plug and a
baby
pacifier.
Baby bottle nipple.
Okay.
You can use it at different times in your life.
But
Analies right here.
No. Analies. Oh, not.
Jesus.
Is not.
Sorry. I read that wrong. And boy. Some pastel dresses and floral ones.
Boy, I would hate for anyone to look at my Google searches.
Oh, really?
I was thinking about it as I was searching for something ridiculous. Mine I can't remember
too.
What it was.
Oh, mine are pretty bad,
mine
too.
Are insane, mostly because of show prep. I have to type in a whole bunch of different things. There have been times where I've been next to somebody saying, oh, let me look it up real quick. And I'll have my phone out so we can both see it. And I'll just click in the Google search bar, you know, and then here's all my recent searches and nudes all over the map and crap, I didn't see that.
What I was gonna say too about Amazon is Prime Day is coming up, big old Prime Day.
Really? Yay.
July 14th. Ooh. But so if you don't have Prime and you wanna sign up, please do it through us.
Yeah, well, I wanna be a sweet. Part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be part of that.
Also got some emails regarding reviews on Stitcher, because some people are having trouble reviewing us on Stitcher, especially if you have the app, because it just doesn't pop up. However, the way to do it is actually to go to a laptop, go to a desktop, go to Stitcher there, and then you can write a review.
Yeah, you can't do everything on your phone. Right. We all think we can, but
it sounds like Stitcher is not a huge place for us. It sounds like most of our actions on iTunes.
Yeah, put it this way. iTunes, we have
Spotify.
4,200 reviews, but on Stitcher, we have 20.
Well, let's make that number better.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I was embarrassed about our Stitcher number. Stitcher comes up.
It's a big one.
Search for us. It comes up, but I guess we just don't have that many people on. But if you are on Stitcher, please review us. Review us nicely. Oh, I know. There were some one-star reviews I wanted to look at today. The UFC guy that beat up the bouncer was at this really cheesy strip club in Honolulu.
Oh.
Called, we could give him over the outro. There were some funny reviews, though. I was looking at them.
Is that BJ Penn?
Yeah, BJ Penn.
Oh, yeah.
Got in a fight with a bouncer.
He's a big name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How'd he do?
Oh, he neutralized the guy. He was gone by the time the cops got there. It's called Club Femme Nu, FEMMENU, in Honolulu. And they had some kind of dubious reviews.
Oh, there's only photos. There's no video. I imagine BJ Penn just wiping the floor. He's 40 years old, but he's still...
YouTube had some...
Club Femme Nu,
here it is.
Amazingly, doesn't have very high reviews.
I know. I was like, why is BJ... What's his face there?
Let's see. Here's a one-star.
There are lots of one stars.
He's fighting. Typical UFC guy fighting on the ground.
Grappling.
Yeah, grappling. Get up and throw some bows.
He's fighting. He's just laying on the guy.
Here's a great one star review. The owner is really mean. She doesn't give anyone chances at life. I want to see her try and dance. Oh, wait. She's going to break her... Oh, she's so old, she's going to break her bones. Saw a woman asking to audition, but she turned her down because of her body size. How rude!
Yeah, the owner and the help gets ragged on a lot.
Whack! The dancers have no body at all and can't even dance. I would like to see more than of you than you're just sitting there. This worst is strip club ever. They charged my friend for $7 for entry. At 1:30 a.m., so they were closing soon. Each, which is supposed to include a beer, but I ended up charging a few dollars more. Then while sitting at the bar, was asked to buy a drink for the girl next to me. I reluctantly said yes, and the manager or owner brought a tiny drink, which the girl slammed it. And then Mom asked me to buy another drink. Again, I did, and Mom brought another tiny drink, which was down quickly. Long story made shorter, I bought my friend and I each a beer and two tiny drinks for the girl. My bill was $79. Has this guy ever been to a strip club?
Why? Don't buy drinks for people when they come up.
No.
Molly, a female, gave some pretty grim review. It's 2 stars. I'm surprised she gave him 2 stars. Boobies, drinks, tons of dudes, and vag. Some have ended up here a few times with some friends on Saturday nights. There are all types of girls for you to watch. Girls of all shapes, sizes, ages, and ethnicities. There are girls in cute panty and bra sets to strip down and shake their butts or shove their vag in your face. Then there are girls who don't even strip but just stay naked and dance in front of you. They all dance with a small pole and those small beds that remind me of doggy beds.
What? Ew.
Stripping? Who said I was stripping?
I was disappointed since they didn't really dance much or do tricks on the poles like some other places. Most of the girls don't interact. They look bored. Be prepared if you go, ladies. There'll always be some guy who wants you to sit by him by the stage and feed the girls money. Do it, and you'll see why.
This is a great review.
I must admit, I am jealous of a couple of the girls' bodies. Damn, I need to get back to the gym. Why is that in the review? What is that?
Be careful of the sex scam.
I gotta go. We have a cat who needs insulin, so
sorry. Oh my.
Sorry.
Be careful of the sex scam. The strippers hang out and promise you for sex and a hidden room in the back, and then $1,000, and 1 hour later, you get nothing.
I saw that.
Sounds like he lost $1,000 there.
Jeff A. is angry at the parking attendant. I usually enjoy coming here, but tonight was turned away by the parking attendant. Think like a boss, and you won't be a 40-year-old lot boy.
Oh.
We had 20 people roll up on bicycles and willing to pay double for two stalls and squeeze 10 bikes per stall. Do the math, dumb shit. That's 10 paying customers per stall versus two or four people in a car. Last time we came, the owner let us park in the covered parking. We threw over $2,000 on stage on top of paying entry and drinks. We may roll up on bikes, but we all make more money than lot boys, and we're not ashamed to make it rain!
Yeah. This place sucks. This is from a chick. They charge you $5 if you want $100 in ones. So you give them $100, they give you back $95. That's really stupid and cheap of them. Sat down, and from the minute we did, the girls kept coming up to us and asking us to buy them drinks. When did this place become a hostess bar? If I want to get hustled for a drink, I'd go to a stinky Korean hostess bar. Jeez. The girls on stage seem lazy and just sit around on the stage and don't dance unless they're getting tipped.
That's a common complaint.
Yeah. There was one really fat girl with a hula hoop and a bad attitude that was rude to some of the customers that weren't tipping her.
What is this? This is Angela changing my review due to not only female customers, also dancers complaining about the sexist and derogatory music allowed in this establishment.
Oh, Lord.
You're in a strip club. Come on, really? Apparently they allow mental abuse through music. It seems bouncers don't care when the dancers are screaming at customers who cross boundaries. I.e. sex assault. The dog beds are because the dancers are on stage for a full 4 to 6 or 10 hours, and they what? Something locker room? Seems like abuse. A lot of it!
Wow. Nice joint.
This Angela, she gave another reviewer. She gave him four stars because her friend lost his iPad mini, and they returned it from the lost and found.
Oh, well, that's classy.
I'm shocked.
I'm clicking on the pictures, you know?
Yes.
And the first picture is there's like a bouncer just giving the finger.
Nice. You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
Why was this guy there? You go to better places.
That was so stupid.
Ugh, it looks like a dump.
I know. That is the worst. The worst. Why is this guy there from...
That's what
UFC.
I mean. That's
what he's a stud, isn't he?
He's from Hawaii. You know, he's worth $25 million. He's probably just going out in the town, having a good time, treating his buddies. And somebody was a jerk to him, so he got into a fist fight. If you're a UFC guy, do you walk around with your chest puffed out thinking I can beat everybody in the entire
city? I think he'd go to better places.
Before we finish, breaking news.
What?
Max Wright has passed away at age 75.
Max Wright, the crack smoking. There were photos of him smoking crack.
And elf.
Wasn't he getting on with homeless guys?
We talked to him, didn't we?
He was having sex with homeless dudes.
I think we tried calling him. I guess he had cancer.
I think he called us back once.
Yeah, he agreed to be on. We'll have to call his cell phone tomorrow and see.
Yeah, see, disconnect.
It's very
notice.
Sad.
Phone disconnect watch. It's a great idea.
I'll come in this recap of his death. They don't mention the
homeless guys he was getting it on with. Yeah. It's not fair.
Incomplete.
Well, everybody remember the Drew and Mike store is open. There's more stuff there. I mean, we had the stickers and the glasses and the tumblers and the coffee mugs. And now there are actually real merch like shirts and shirts for ladies. And what's the sleeveless ones called?
Tank tops.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff you might like in the Drew and Mike store. We'll see you tomorrow. Wrap up the week. Clear.
I wanted to tell you about an investment opportunity.